The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Delay of game. First 5-yard penalty. Still third down.
Get jacked up. That's what we need. Lots of noise. It's got that playoff feel. This place is amped.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Pinker throws it across the middle. Picked up by Mikovic. Runs it back right to the 40. Robbed at the 35. Tripped up and brought down at the 34-yard line.
You know, it's a hard team to stop. A great offensive team. Great quarterback. They're well coached. And we've got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight.
Tom in the pocket. Pumps. Throws to the end zone. Sliding catch. Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots in front of T.J. Ward. A line drive sailing toward Edelman from the 16. Runs to the right. Julian gets outside of the 30. Edelman on the right side on 40. Edelman to midfield. A block in the lead the way to the 40 of Denver. Cutting left to the 30. Only the punter to beat to the 10. To the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots.
You know, Minitron, he's so quick, and what he did on the punt return was incredible. And then he comes out there, receiver, and makes a bunch of plays. So.
Fourth and six coming up. Peyton takes the snap. Yeah. Pressure. He goes down. With a sack at the 44. Snap to Manning from the pistol to play pick. He throws down the right side for Welker. It's bobbled and it's picked off by Browner. Circles back to the right at the 40. Browner on the right sideline across the 15. His first interception as a Patriot. Rob is spun down by T.J. Ward.
Cheap shot by a dirty player again. T.J. Ward goes right for the knee. Helmet on the knee. That should be 15, and he should be talking to that guy right now. That's a dirty play.
Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand. An acrobatic play. Just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me?
What an amazing catch by Gronkowski with Ward in coverage. On the right side, Brady's going to drop back. He's going to throw for Gronk. He's got a touchdown now as the Patriots expand their lead. 22 seconds and counting, and that's going to be the final play. The Patriots have the last word until they meet again. Patriots win it over the Broncos, 43-21.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is a victory Tuesday here, and not just any victory. This was a victory against, arguably, according to everybody, the best team in the NFL. And the Patriots didn't just beat them. The Patriots dominated them. I mean, they made an offense that racked up, you know, well into the 400 yards look as bad as they could possibly make an offense with that many yards look. And, you know, they did it with scheme. They did it with talent. And, you know, you can't say that all the moves that they've made so far this offseason and during the season haven't paid dividends. They're starting to roll here with this defense, and you know, to do what they did on third down, on fourth down against the Broncos was impressive. And then, of course, you've got the offense rolling. Gronk is back. You know, he's such a huge factor. Brady's still spreading the ball around, moving out of the pot. Things are looking good for the New England Patriots, 7-2, going into the bye, number one seed in the AFC if the season ended today, which I wish it would, so we could just get on with it. But, you know, things have settled. Things are back to where they should be. Andy's here. Paul's here. Big show coming up. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
No?
Everything you just said.
No?
I'm pumped and
jacked. I caught the preamble.
Yeah. So we're ready to go.
Eric, they did it with scheme. They did it with heart. They did it with talent.
They did. I think it was just an all-around win.
It was.
You know, for all phases of the game, including special teams. You know, they won in all three phases.
Well, special teams, yep. They've been pretty much kicking ass all year.
Yeah.
Well, lately. That early, they struggled a little bit.
In what?
On the first play of the season was a block punt.
No, I know, but I think in general, I'd have to go back, but I feel like they've won most games in the kicking battle.
I think, well, Gostkowski's been incredible.
He's been phenomenal.
But I think
there's
the returns really have been non-existent until the last 2 weeks.
I'm used to that, though.
Well, see, I think Edelman was a big part of the offense last year, the first half of the season. He had
really?
A lot of fair. Yeah.
Go back and look.
He was really good. Well, early he was really good. He tapered off at the end. And that's sort of why we're wondering if maybe that's why he's given Amendola some opportunities now to sort of pick and choose his spots with Edelman a little more to keep him a little bit fresher, maybe. But I think lately the special teams have been incredible.
Coverage has been good.
The coverage has been good. They had a couple of opportunities to make even better plays on Sunday that they couldn't quite make. But
when Fred chastised Matthew Slater.
What did you call him? Called him an idiot. Unfiltered Fred is not good.
Captain Fred.
Unfiltered Fred is not good.
Has made endless plays all year in coverage and stuff. And
I was a little on edge.
You were. I mean, to the point where, with like, I don't know, a 40-point lead and the review didn't get overturned on the play for Gronk. You just threw your headphones off and started yelling at people.
Well, I had a little misunderstanding of the rules there.
Right, because even Bill is...
Bill and I are both on the same page.
Bill took himself out to the woodshed.
But yeah, Bill was on the same page at the time when he saw it.
Yeah.
But not even really, because when the guy came over and said whatever he said to him, Bill said, oh, okay. Yeah. And Bill never says that. I thought for sure we'd get the palms up and the what's going on.
That's what I'm saying. Bill was fine with everything on the field. Like,
right.
I think once he saw it, and I have no problem. Given the time, you're taking a shot. You know, it's a great play. I want that to be a touchdown. Maybe he wasn't down. You know, he obviously didn't get a look at it, because if he had seen it, he wouldn't have challenged it.
But then he knew they could just walk all over him and get the touchdown on the next play.
Yeah, it's not the same, though. I wish that one-handed catch ended up being a touchdown. But, you know, nitpicking.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Yeah, I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, this is exactly what you were looking for. You know, I don't think you could have expected it, but now that it's happened, it's like, wow. I mean, no one can really question. No one can really I mean, sure, there's nitpicks, but no one can nitpick the win. You know, no one can say, well, but there are no buts about this win.
Nope.
I mean, even with all the yards that the Broncos racked up, you know, Paul, you nodded in the first quarter, right? Didn't you give a nod in the first quarter?
No, I nodded at the Ninkovich interception. I think that was in the second quarter.
Second quarter.
Early, though.
Yeah, very early for a Peyton Manning game. Holy mackerel.
I was just judging off the way the game was going. And I think that everything
because of the way the defense was playing, right?
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
To me, it was more the way Manning looked, but you could say that's because of the way the defense is playing.
Yeah.
I think Manning never looked good in that game. And I know he threw, as you just said, I just want to get the 438 yards. It was the least impressive 438-yard performance ever, because I think there were plays to be made all over the place that he failed on. At those fourth downs that he just was throwing the ball, you know, to guys that were open, but he was just throwing them up way too early. He just never looked right to me.
And
never looked right, and I give the Patriots defense all the credit in the world.
I do too, and you know, in particularly the secondary, because they had him doing all different types of things. I mean, it wasn't just line up here and take care of this guy. They were multiple in terms of the formations that they were using, the guys they were covering, sides of the field, you know, what the call was on any given play. And I think you have to do that with Manning. Otherwise, he's just going to rip you apart.
Yeah, probably the most diverse game plan we've seen this year. They started out in man for like one play, and then they were doing a lot of zone, but the zone would have different combinations of nickel and dime, and you know, Brandon Brown are playing linebacker essentially at the line there, 5 yards off, and he even joked about it. He had his hands on his knees like a linebacker. They threw, you know, the blitzes up the middle, the Jamie Collins, you know, pressures up the middle. They threw a lot at Peyton Manning, and it really had that old school feel of bend but don't break.
Well,
with the yards and the plays, and you look at the game and you say, wow, they had two receivers with like 150 yards each and 400 yards, and yet they didn't convert on third down until the third quarter. They didn't put it in the end zone often enough, and you come away with the victory.
And didn't you get the sense over the course of the week that, you know, there was a lot going on in terms of learning for this game? Like,
nope.
I know that the Patriots are always about getting down to business and game planning for every team, but it seemed like there was something they were brewing up for this game in particular. That
nope.
There was a lot of stuff that the defense was being asked of during practice. I just got that
Where
feeling.
Did you ascertain that?
Just from...
Do you watch practice?
Just from Belichick and Brady during the week, and that, you know, Belichick just seemed very, very... you know, not that he's, you know, a bubbling personality when he does his press conference, but this week, or last week, I should say, just seemed a little bit more, I got work to do.
The only thing that I got that from was when he said, like, he didn't have time for Halloween. Yeah, you got Denver this week. I don't really have time for anything else.
I just got the feeling.
But even that, I didn't mean it. Take it to mean like, you know, Akeem Ayers is learning more this week or anything else.
Well, I
knew they would throw a lot at Peyton Manning. I didn't know exactly how or
why. You can't do that unless you're prepared. You know, if you're going to throw a lot at Peyton Manning, you have, you know, these guys were asked to do stuff that they haven't been asked to do yet. In terms of, you know.
We found that out post-game. I mean, Vince said that. We did stuff tonight that we haven't done before. But I did not have any
knowledge. I got that sense that they were
better sources than I do.
Really nose to the grindstone, burning
midnight oil. I'm going to take Fred's side on this, but only because of the sources angle.
What?
Because, I mean, I have no idea. You know, from walking in and out of the locker room every day last week, I did not get any sense of anything out of the ordinary.
I feel a little bit like Bill. Can you tell me next time
they
when
sort
they've
of
been
operated,
working out a lot?
Well, they sort of operated in a very similar way that you and I, and Fred, too. I'm not... All three of us thought that they would do. We didn't think they would match up with those receivers. We thought that was foolish. Flooding with extra defensive backs and changing things up. I agree that they probably put some guys in different spots than they're accustomed to. And, you know, let's throw Akeem Ayers in there, too. You know, he had a pretty big workload on Sunday for a guy who has been here for 2 weeks.
92% snaps.
And he contributed, with a huge play on the fourth down. So... I do think there were a lot of different things that were on people's plates that maybe, you know, Brandon Brown are not accustomed to maybe, you know, I think he said since Pop Warner when he played linebacker like that.
Yeah.
But
now, did you
the style itself of defense, I think, was something that we all could have envisioned.
Did you think, because I give credit to Ayers, not just for, there's a difference between playing, if you're 4-3, cover 2, for 92% of the snaps, okay, I have. You know, I played football before I can do this. But I do give him credit for he had to know more to fit in and play that often. But did you think that there was any – I kind of thought Hightower might be doing some Manning-type histrionics. I'm not sure everything he did was necessary. I think
so?
There was he was coming up in over the center, and he would tap Wilfork left, and then he would tap Chris Jones, and then he would go. And say, I kind of thought maybe they were doing a little bit of false signals, false –
That might be part of the stuff that was different, too.
Yep.
You know, rather than letting Peyton totally dictate everything, maybe they were trying to dictate to Peyton.
Right.
You think they were mocking him a little?
A little bit.
Jamie
well, not
Collins,
mocking
no,
as
I
much as just
trying to
making
fool
him think you were doing something when you really weren't. You were lining up.
Using now, his own
In all honesty, I think the failure for Denver's offense was physical, to be honest with you. I thought they were I think Manning was terrible in this game, and I know he threw for a million yards. And I know some people have said that he wasn't the biggest part of the problem. I think that they had opportunities to make plays, and he either quit on them early. I thought some of the biggest plays of the game he bailed on, you know, with fourth downs that he sort of anticipated pressure that didn't come.
And have we heard that before?
And through some, and by the way, whatever the NFL Nation thing is on ESPN has Brady as the number one for MVP right now. So declining skills
Fan
to MVP,
or
whatever it is on this show.
Well,
I don't know what
the Patriots.
I know all their bloggers. They have the 32
no,
bloggers.
No. This was some kind of poll.
Yeah, midseason
not a
MVP.
Thing.
1 Brady, 2 Roethlisberger.
No, 2 was.
They just showed it.
DeMarco Murray, and 3 was Peyton Manning. That was the 3 just put up on the screen.
This one on
but
this show.
But Brady was far and away number 1 at 50%.
Oh, that was
this
hers.
This is individual guys.
Oh, okay, that was hers.
Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, Carson Palmer, Tony Romo.
Michael Smith doesn't even have Brady in his.
New show, by the way. His and hers.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I was referring to was some sort of poll because it had percentages.
I see.
And Brady had 50%. DeMarco Murray had 22%, and I want to say Manning had like 16%.
Because Mike Reese also put out the 32 ESPN people, and Brady won that one. Had like 16 votes, 14 votes. I don't know.
But I think a case can be made for your guy, Gronkowski, too. You know, tight end, it's tough to win these kind of
it
awards,
is,
but
and
you can make the case.
He's not going to win it, but I would give him the MVP.
I think we've seen 2 years in a row that when he's going, the Patriots go and Brady goes.
Right.
When he's not going, the Patriots
stop
going.
We have empirical evidence.
And Brady stops
it's
going.
It's not just a guess, like what would happen if Brady's not here.
Right.
We know what happens if Gronk's
not
there.
The other part of it is it's not like he just does routine things.
Yeah.
He makes catches like he did the other day. I mean, I know that was out of the ordinary even for him, but it's not like all the catches he makes every week are routine.
He has a highlight every week, a major highlight, whether it's running through somebody. And some of his that I think would be major highlights for other people get lost because they're not as impressive because, you know, he needs to break a tackle and go 46 yards for it to be impressive, not just break a tackle and go another 15.
Well, Getting back to Manning, I think the Patriots exposed him, and I think his decline begins now.
Good job, Fred.
All right, webradiopatriots.com.
I expect him to throw for 375 and four touchdowns.
508-298-0398.
He's going to come way down from that 438.
We should probably get right into it because everybody's ready to go, chomping at the bit. Or champing?
Chomping. I got yelled at when I said champing.
What do you want to eat? Let's get this straightened out before we get to the phone calls.
Brownies.
What are you getting?
I don't know. I mean, I assume we have to go to Omega. Yeah. So what do you want?
Large veal.
Yeah,
farm.
He says.
Veal farm. Is it my turn? Okay. All right. Let's get to the phones. The Ace Ticket Hotline is Drew in Connecticut first. Drew.
Hey, guys. It was good to get the win. But I think we're going to have problems in the next few weeks when we have to go against these elite QBs.
Right. Good, Drew. Yeah. Good.
But what I really wanted to talk about was a quick point on Browner, and then I'll take your answer. But he kind of reminds me of the guy that's proud to have never sent an email or know what a cell phone is when it comes to, like, being aggressive. Part of me likes it, but then part of me just, it's stupid the way he just gets in people's faces to the point where it can cost the team.
Yeah, but I will say that the one in the end zone, that was, even for the end, that was a ticky-tack call. He had his arm around his head.
I think that's textbook pass interference.
No, that's the way they're taught.
Textbook pass interference. If you put your hand on their hip and rotate him, it will be called
up. But he didn't rotate him.
Yeah, he actually did.
I don't
watch the tape.
That's where I differ.
Watch the tape.
That's where I differ.
And by the way, our producer, who is a fledgling wannabe referee, said that's going to get that's as easy a call as there is.
No, I don't think he rotated him. I don't think he impeded him one whatsoever.
I don't think he impeded him. I don't think he needed to do it, but he rotated him, and you always hear.
They're told you keep one hand on just in case. Well,
and if you rotate him, you're going to get the penalty.
But I don't think he did.
Go back and watch the tape.
That's my point.
Go back and watch the tape.
You also didn't think Gronkowski got touched.
But more importantly, I agree 100% with Drew. He's almost proud to say, I'm not changing. They signed me because I'm physical. I don't care how they change the rules. I don't care how they change. I'm doing what I do. And I think it's going to work out in the end for him because I think I wrote this in the postseason. They generally kind of let him play. And I thought they sort of let him play the other night. I think it'll work for the Patriots.
That game was perfect for the Patriots the other night. They would absolutely sign up right now for whatever many games in the playoffs that they play just like that because that's how they want to play. They want to be physical and they want to get their hands on receivers. And they only called the egregious ones the other night. The Jamie Collins one down the sideline. That was kind of similar to the one the Buffalo guy had against Edelman in the end zone. I mean, there is no referee on the planet that's going to not call that one.
Maybe five.
But there was some hand fighting going on some of those back shoulder throws to Demaryius Thomas. They didn't call any of that. And those are calls that you see Denver get all the time. They did not get them last week.
Chris is in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Good. I mean, I'm a little upset, you know?
Why?
Why? Because, I mean, I did say that we were going to beat them by 14, but I was wrong on that one, you know?
I hear you.
I was wrong. I mean, that guy that just paused, seriously, we're going to have problems in the next couple of weeks?
He was being sarcastic,
just like you were.
He was saying when they meet elite quarterbacks, obviously Manning is an elite quarterback, the most elite quarterback, and they handled it.
So relax.
He was being sarcastic.
If you're going to serve up sarcasm, you got to be able to take it.
I don't want to take it from anybody saying anything.
Right. I get it. You're sensitive. You don't want to hear it now. You've heard
it. I don't want to hear it.
You've heard it all season, and now you're done, right? I get you, Chris. I get you.
The Colts, I mean, seriously, the Colts, 2 weeks to prepare for them? I mean,
you know they have 2 weeks to prepare for you, too, right?
They're on the bye as well.
Yeah, but we have a better coach on them.
That's true.
We have a better offense. Yeah. We have better corners.
I'm not going to lie to you. I still fear the Colts some offensively.
I still fear
Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne in that offense.
Right.
Allen, I mean, I still have fear of them being – you may do what you did and let them put up some yards and receptions and hold them out of the end zone. But
this game could have had a much different look if not for the third down.
And
thing,
by the
right?
way, you're going there.
Plus, it doesn't help the Patriots' cause to downplay any of these opponents. If you're a Patriots fan, you should be pumping up these opponents.
Well, I don't really care about getting caught up in that saying a team is good or bad.
Thanks, Chris.
I want them to win because they, as you said, they are now in the driver's seat. What do they like to say? The destiny is their own or whatever.
They control
their own destiny.
A little bit of a long way for that, though.
No, I know, but you do. You could be trying to play catch up, and you don't have to.
Right.
You know, as
that's
the, as
why that's why it was a must win. It was a must win for the Patriots on Sunday. They had to win, and they did. That's how I feel.
Did you say that on the TV show?
Maybe not on the TV show, but it's, that's how I felt. It was an absolute must win for the Patriots.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Yelled at Melvin.
It's a big part of the reason why I picked them to win the game. I thought they were the more desperate team.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Man, the main point, I know y'all got a lot of calls, but the main point that I liked from the game is they were getting some type of pressure. I didn't like the fact that, I think sometimes they were going to sit back and wait a lot. I know they did that a lot with coverages, but they weren't afraid sometimes to go get Manning with the blitzes and stuff like that. If I think we continue to do that, I don't think we're going to have too many problems coming up. Later on, just in the future, I want them to be more aggressive with their play caller on defense.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I do. I like that point. And I'll let y'all go.
All right. All right, Melvin. Melvin wants to see more of a pass rush.
Well, sometimes when we say they, quote, sat back, it's because they couldn't win one-on-one battles. They couldn't rush, you know. And I'd have to go back and look at it. I'm not sure how many times they sent more than four rushers.
No, I thought that was a big key to the game was the front three or four guys' ability to hold their own.
And
whether
now,
that was against the run or I do think they didn't get much pressure on Manning, but they occasionally made a move.
Yes.
And
I thought Ninkovich did a pretty good job on that guy. What was it, Cormack? Paul Cormack.
Yeah, and that's the one matchup that I thought they had a significant edge in, that Chris Clark already lost his job. And they put this Cornick in, and he hasn't done the job either. And that's the one spot that I thought the Patriots had a chance to win, and they did. But even though Andy's right, even though they only sent three, four guys, they were occasionally able. Now, listen, you better get there when you throw the ball 60 times. You better get there once or twice. And they did. But I thought that they did it often enough to make him a little bit uncomfortable and make him move a little bit. And I do think that a couple of times, as I said, on those fourth down plays, he threw the ball earlier than he wanted to. I thought he had guys open, but never gave them a chance, and just threw the ball because I think he was seeing rushes that weren't there.
Well, those two throws to Welker, the one down the right side.
He was terrible in that game.
The one down the right side where he just threw it basically as soon as he got the snap, and the timing was never there. And then I thought the worst series of the game for them, when they had to call timeout to avoid delay a game, just barely avoided delay a game, and when they got the snap off, Manning felt the pressure and just chucked it in Welker's direction and hit Kyle Arrington in the chest. I thought, as if you're a get in Manning's head, he loses it, Manning face kind of person, I think you put that two-play stretch on and say he pooped himself.
Let's get to an email. Mark from Cheddar writes in, hey, guys, in the Hall of Famer, it was a great game to watch on Sunday. Having said that, I have a big issue that has been annoying me. Person one, Mike Kliss. Mike frickin' Kliss. Now, I have no problem about the prediction of the Broncos blowout from the PPGS. If you want to base your prediction on a single Monday night game from 5 weeks ago, go for it. My umbrage is with his post-game article where he says that it isn't Brady versus Manning, it's Manning versus Belichick and Brady. In that he should have seen it coming as easy as 2-on-1. I believe this is a quote from the article, but I couldn't be bothered to go searching for it again and waste more time on Mike Kliss.
But you did read it.
Person two, Peter King. Peter frickin' King. His weekly hyperbolic "look how great I am" column, keyword I, the Patriots win, it isn't about how well Brady played, it's about how Belichick confused Manning, and that is the only thing that happened, and how Manning has to go against Belichick. And then later, the game was in Foxborough, and look, they haven't played in Manning's place since 2009 in the regular season. If this was in Denver, I'm sure it would be different. We all know that if the Broncos won, there would only have been one storyline coming out of the game. Manning beats the Patriots. Manning proves he's the best quarterback ever. Yet when the Patriots win, it is, well, it was in Foxborough, and it is unfair that he has to play against Belichick. And I will not mention how Brady played, as it doesn't matter because Manning is so much better every time.
Did someone – I missed that. I apologize. Did someone say that they lost because it was in Foxborough and it's not fair?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I don't read Peter King, so I don't know.
I don't read Peter King either, but that's ridiculous if you wrote
well,
that.
Well, I have had enough, says Mark. I want to bring back the raping and pillaging Fred Kirsch of 2007. I want to hear people say that Brady is now in the MVP discussion. Well, you got that.
Well, he is.
I want to win. I want to beat the Broncos again in the AFC Championship game. It's in Foxborough, and Manning has to play against Belichick and Brady. It's not fair. I want to see the Manning face one more time, and then I want to stomp the Cardinals in their own stadium. So there you go. Mark and Cheddar. Nothing to save, guys?
I'm not familiar with the story, so I don't really feel like I'm qualified to.
I did think Mike Kliss took it a little far when he said, like, and I forget the exact word, but he picked the Broncos to win big, and then he said, you know, I don't think the Patriots are a very good team. I think they have Belichick, and he carries them. He also, I don't know if you heard us, Fred, we also kind of made light, but in his prediction, he said, and you know, the game I saw the most of the Patriots playing, that game in Kansas City on Monday night. Well, it makes sense why he thought the Broncos were going to blow him out. If that's your reference point.
If you saw that game and you've been watching Denver all year, you wouldn't have thought that would have been much of
a
challenge.
Plus, if you cover the Broncos, you know, you have a keen interest in the Chiefs, and so that's the game that you focused on. I understand. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
First off, I want to, like, apologize for my last call. It was really unprofessional. I'm going to try and be better with my calls. And I want to say, when I first started calling, I didn't really know you guys like that, but I'm cool with the marijuana joke.
Oh, now we are? Wait, so now will you be honest with us? Do you smoke marijuana?
No.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
But as for the football... Would you say that this Colts game is a must-win just because the Rams and the Raiders are the next two teams the Broncos play?
No, I don't think it's a must-win.
I think it would be a good win because it's another conference team that you could be in the mix with down the road. You know, I'd rather lose NFC games than AFC games, and it also would continue a nice stretch here of just knocking off Manning, knocking off
If Luck. I had to lose one of the next three, you know, let's say the four games, we'll say it's at Indy, home against Detroit, at Green Bay, at San Diego. If I had to pick a game to lose, it would definitely be one of the other three.
Sure.
Not the Colts.
This is a seeding game.
Because the Colts, and this is, you know.
Green Bay would be my choice to lose.
At Green Bay would be number one. Home against Detroit would be number two.
And but I want to keep all my home home records.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not
SID stats.
I'm not into the SID stats. And San Diego will be the third one because I think they're more of a wild card, not necessarily one that's going to bother you. But
I see what you did there.
It is how quick it can change. And Fred's absolutely right. They're in the driver's seat right now. Lose one game on the next time you play, and you suddenly could be the third seed.
Right.
Because
if you lose to the Colts, you're behind the Colts, and assuming, as Justin just said, that the Broncos play a couple of cupcakes the next couple of weeks, they probably are going to win those games unless they're so psychologically damaged from the beatdown they took on Sunday. So all of a sudden, you could be in the third seed. And if Cincinnati wins, you could be the fourth seed.
And we all know the problems that teams have after Fred anoints them the best team in football.
That's right. It's a kiss of death.
Well, you just anointed the Patriots the best team in football.
I didn't. Everyone else is.
Oh, so you don't think they're the best team in football?
Of course I do.
So you've anointed them.
Jesus. What do you think?
Actually, you know, I shouldn't say. I mean, as a fan, I say that. But Arizona's playing as good as anyone right now. You know, Pittsburgh's playing as good as anyone right now.
Patriots in Arizona, you would pick?
Today?
Today.
Well,
let them get, and I don't want them to be too sore, so
but
we'll say.
In the Super Bowl, you mean? Or
Right now, the way they're playing.
No, but is it a home crowd for
Arizona? In Arizona, yes.
In the Super Bowl, the neutral crowd, I'd give it to the Patriots.
But if it were
the Patriots would kill Arizona.
Right now,
I don't know about kill.
If it's a home game for Arizona, I might. Yeah,
I don't think Arizona can score.
I don't know. He's my new favorite head coach, so I'm swayed by that.
Oh, I think he's a very good coach.
Everything I see out of him on and off the field, I'm madly in love with.
I think it's a good team. I do. I just don't think they have the offense to keep up with the Patriots.
And what about
I think they would get
killed. Pittsburgh?
They're hot. I don't fear them yet.
Yeah, I don't like. There's a difference between having a couple of good games and playing well. I think Pittsburgh has played very well the last two games offensively, but I'm not ready to put them in any kind of.
He has not removed them from the stinky teams.
No, category. I have.
Oh, they're out of stinky.
I did.
So now they're okay.
They've made personnel additions that I wasn't aware of. I mean, you can't just be blind to what's happening in the league, and you have to admit when you're wrong. And I'm admitting that I was wrong.
Mark tape.
They have two guys that weren't playing in the first 7 weeks. That are now dominating. So now, instead of just Antonio Brown catching every pass and making every play, Roethlisberger's throwing six touchdowns in back-to-back games. There's a big difference. Something has changed. This is not the team that lost to Tampa Bay at home.
Wouldn't it be? Well, I guess it wouldn't be great. What would you rather see as the AFC title game? Another Denver game or old-school Pittsburgh?
I don't really care. Just get there. I really don't. I mean, I'm not picking them. I'm not ranking them, as Bill would say.
Yeah, I don't fear the Steelers yet at all.
I don't fear the Steelers.
But there's a part of me that does, because I look at them and I say, they have weapons. They can run the ball a little bit. I'm not sure about this run defense. Roethlisberger can extend plays, and I don't really have the faith to hit him. There's reason to fear that team. Now, I don't really have much faith in their defense. But,
none.
But, you know, if he's going to throw six touchdowns, then he doesn't need to have faith in his defense.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Oh, guys, great win, I'm in. I mean, that was unbelievable. Just following up on Mark and Cheddar's comments, only New England fans will go to the opposing team's newspapers after a great victory and gripe about, you know.
Fred holding his hand up right now.
I just go to the Jets website and listen to Rex Ryan's press conference.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, the opposing team, the opposing writers have to write good things about your team too.
Tom Curran did it. So if Tom Curran can do it, then New England fans can do it.
It's like when
mocking a writer
the U.S. beat Japan in World War II. We made the Emperor of Japan go on the radio and surrender. That's what you. We expect when we
did
beat
that?
You. Yeah.
We really?
Did. Yeah.
Get a little history lesson here every time. I wish Eric were here.
I never knew that.
I wish Eric were here because he would like change it, alter it, counter it somehow, fix what Fred got wrong.
Yeah, he would tell you were wrong, Fred.
Right.
And he's right.
Right.
quick question about the defensive backs. Surprised that Malcolm Butler got the start. Got the time over Logan Ryan and Dennard. Is Dennard hurt?
I was surprised.
Not so much over Logan Ryan because I think he's struggled. I don't know why Dennard's not playing. No idea.
I fully expected Dennard to be playing in this game.
He hasn't been on the injury report the last 2 weeks. These are, by letter of the law, healthy scratches.
Yep. But yeah,
so
definitely
like
a surprise.
Aaron Thompson doghouse kind of. Like,
yeah, but it's
but
different because he was your starter. I mean, he's a guy that's played a couple seasons. Yeah. Aaron Dobson is like a nobody who never did anything.
And
I mean,
you know the other part of it? Aaron Dobson's behind a guy who's played well in Brandon LaFell.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What did Malcolm Butler do? And listen, the king and president of the Malcolm Butler fan club from the summer, right? But what has he done in the regular season to warrant?
Right, you can. Make
I got to get Malcolm Butler as part of this
other
defensive
wide receivers
package.
Are ahead of Dobson, but yeah, Dennard. You mentioned the word doghouse, Christian. Maybe that is it. Maybe he's done something in practice or hasn't done something in practice that we don't know about.
I'll say this, and it's dangerous to play this, appearances game in the locker room. If he's in the doghouse, he hides it very well. He is one of the happiest, always interacting with his teammates. He's always involved in something
he's
lighthearted.
Not sulking.
He's not sulking if he's in the doghouse.
Okay. All right.
Well,
you guys would know.
Yeah, that's good to know. All right, guys, I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of calls.
Okay, thanks, Christian. And we do
and
have
Freddie,
a lot
the most
of calls.
Important thing about Malcolm Butler is, can we say it or no?
I don't know what you're going to say.
I just think he's competitive. Oh. I like the way he plays.
Didn't you tell me that he, his choice in...
He was seen today in front of his locker reading Patriots Football Weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Did we write about him at all?
I don't think so. Not for a long time.
It's not surprising.
Not since I wrote every single blog entry about him in the summer.
I mean, it's not surprising for a player to read something about them, but it would be surprising if he's just reading PFW.
Sure.
Like he's like, oh, really? Jonas Gray looking to run a little more down the stretch?
I should walk in with our shirts on, stick our chest out a little
bit. I want to see the guy who actually puts the posters up in his locker.
They've done it. I mean, I think Mankins used to be a guy who would put our paper up for various first down funny photos or Brady mocking.
And you would see posters every once in a while.
Yeah.
They would make
fun
of the guy who had the poster about it on him. And, they wouldn't put it up of themselves, but one of the linemen would put it up if another lineman would.
Mora might find it funny. We're at the portion of the year where it's pretty much the stars. We kind of wait it towards the back end. Yeah. If she goes, who's the post this week? Malcolm Butler. He reads our paper, so we're going to be a nice guy and put it in.
One of these days, it would be some work on our part, but it might be worth it to come out with an alternative edition that completely just makes fun of them and all this stuff. But
how's that alternative?
But only they get it. And they think that it's the one that everyone else got,
we
secretly film the reaction.
Bo Pelini would think that's just the way we do it all the time. Just one big criticism.
Brandon Browner, too. He's in a fight with Mike Reese. Who knew Mike Reese would be in a fight with a player before we were?
Yeah.
That was on Twitter, right?
On Twitter. Brandon Browner said he'll remember not to do interviews with Mike Reese anymore because all he does is tweet negative stuff.
Oh,
which to me is astounding.
That is astounding.
Because I love Mike. Mike is another of Fred's very always growing cast of minions. Mike started here.
If anything, he's Switzerland. I mean, he's just reporting facts and stats. He's neutral. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Hey, Steve.
So, how you guys doing?
Great.
I called in at the end of the pregame social let you guys know my opinion. I was all hyped up. And, Andy, I think you dismissed that. I said they were going to run away with this game.
What made you think
and
that?
What made me think that is the same thoughts I had at the beginning of this preseason. We went out and we completed a team, and I thought we had the most Belichick team we've had since 2007. I was very high on Brandon Browner. I thought that was a great signing, and I know Paul dismissed that saying Seattle doesn't let go of talent, but you look at Seattle right now, they let Clemens, Red Bryant, Percy Harvin, Golden Tate, and I think one more corner go. So I think they do let talent slip, just like every organization does. And I thought the matchup on Revis, on Thomas, but it, and not only that, just the amount of depth we had at corner and in the secondary with McCourty, Browner, Revis, and even Butler stepping up and playing a big game. I thought that gave us the ability to match up. We could put Revis on Sanders. We could put him on Thomas, depending on the down. We could slide Brandon Browner on Demaryius Thomas and then move him over to Julius Thomas, along with Akeem Ayers helping out in the pass rush. And there's so many things we were able to do that because we have the talent this year more than any other year defensively. It really gave us the ability to make problems for Manning just like we did in the early 2000s. And I think that we're going to create problems for a lot of teams. I think our defense is going to continue to put up similar performances like this, and I think this is going to how we're going to play for the rest of the season.
Okay. Hats off for the prediction. I'm going to ask you to do one thing for us, for Andy and I specifically. On the next pregame social, instead of just calling and saying they're going to blow them out, I want you to call and do what you just did and give us a minute or two of specific, really football-oriented analysis as to why you think they're going to blow them out instead of waiting to see what happens in the game and telling us why it happened. Because all you said before the game was they were going to blow them out.
Well, it's a little hard when you're in that state of mind to pick specific key points.
Inebriated? Is that the state of mind?
Oh, I didn't know that. I apologize then.
My
bad. I didn't know that.
No. Steve doesn't wait till after the game to get drunk. Yeah.
So that's what else are we doing here?
That's exactly.
But that's definitely a reason. So my bad. But I am being serious. I'm not being harsh. For the Colts game. No, I'm not. I remember the call. He did say they were going to blow them out.
Because I don't.
Andy never remembered. Andy did make fun of the guy. I remember that.
That
too.
I believe. I would assume
I
did.
I didn't. I thought the Patriots were going to win the game. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. But I had a lot of faith that the Patriots would win this game. But I would like to hear the next time all of these reasons beforehand as opposed to after the game. Malcolm Butler was going to be a big part of the game. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I didn't see him even being active in the game, never mind being a part of it. Covering Emmanuel Sanders as often as he did. So
not all that well.
No, that's another one of those things. Right. He caught like 70 yards worth of passes while Butler
Peyton
was
Manning
covering
saw Malcolm Butler and said, ooh, Malcolm Butler.
This game
all
could
right,
have been
thanks,
different.
Steve.
Let's put it that way. I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Well, I do too.
There were a lot of plays that the Broncos did not make that were available.
I think that call was sort of utterly disrespectful to the early days defenses.
Well,
I mean, we're now saying we got Akeem Ayers.
Well, I was just going to
you know,
say,
the early days confusion of Peyton Manning involved like 150 yards and four picks, not 438 yards.
It also involved guys who were really good. I mean, just that defensive front was phenomenally loaded. This one is Chris Jones, Alan Branch, Akeem Ayers. I mean, you're
at one point, Fred goes,
duct taping it together.
Alan Branch.
He didn't look good.
Well, he shouldn't look good.
He hasn't played all year.
He missed one. You know, I mocked that he had 2 weeks of practice to prepare. Well, by the letter of the law, he didn't even have a full week of practice to prepare. He missed a day last week, non-injury related, and you're throwing him out there to the Wolves on a day when maybe they were doing a lot of crazy stuff.
He's a big guy, though. I'll give him that.
He's
a big guy.
She has a great personality.
I do think that is a very underrated element of that success was, you know, and This to me was a point in the favor of all of us. Remember last year when they allowed 280 yards rushing, Fred, right? And even as recently as last week, people saying, will Manning fall into the trap again?
Right.
Will he do it again? I think you got the answer as to whether you thought that Belichick thought it was okay that they ran for 280 yards based on the way they played this time around.
Yeah.
They were not content to give the Broncos cheap yards on the ground.
Well, they weren't, but it's not like they loaded up the box either.
But it was important to stop them.
Oh, sure.
He schemed, as you said, all the different schemes they used with the different guys at linebacker. They played better this time. They did want to allow 280 yards on the ground.
I think
that,
just,
why do you think you had such a good
better.
Why do you think that they had such a hard time converting third downs? Maybe because it was third and long every single time.
A lot of times, right? Let's go to Javon.
3 for 11 on third downs. A lot of that had to do with the run defense.
Javon's in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Javon.
What's going on, guys? My first time calling, man. You guys.
Welcome.
Three quick things, man. I don't know if anybody noticed, man, but I love Gronk. He bring that aggressiveness, man. It's a couple of times on the sideline, he got into it with a person or something. Kind of was throwing his shoulder pad at him, like wanted to just punch him in the mouth. I loved it. And I wanted him to catch that one-handed touchdown on TJ Ward so bad. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
And then y'all notice that people hitting my man low, man. What's up with that? Any of y'all noticing that?
Just TJ Ward, the low hit? Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people commented on, and as a matter of fact, at the time, during the game, Zolak said right out that he thought that should be a 15-yard penalty. I don't know what rule book he's looking at, but it's because it was TJ Ward and it was because the first time Gronk had the ball, it was that hit. But, I mean, how else are you going to tackle Gronk, really?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
It's tough. We just don't like seeing it.
I would hate to see him blow out his
– hold out breath for every time he catches
right.
it.
Yeah, and I agree, and I do too, because he's such an important guy, but – even Gronk, Andy talked to Gronk today. It's going to be on our TV show on PFW TV on Thursday. And Gronk said, absolutely not. It's, you know, that's where these guys got to go. And you're not going to be able to tackle up high. He didn't have a problem with it. But, you know, it's nice for him. He has a bunch of other guys that are willing to fight his fight for him. But I agree with you, Fred. What rule book, you know, are you pointing to that says that that's a 15-yard
right,
penalty?
Right, right.
One more thing, man. Browner, on the end zone thing, I don't think he really rotated him like that, but he didn't have to put his hand on his hip, man. He played good in great position. He didn't have to.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't have to do it. I think he did have great position.
I think as soon as they see their hand on the hip every time, they're going to show their leg just because. Yeah. And have anybody seen our first-round pick, Dominic? Can somebody let me know? Can somebody please let me know?
Yeah.
Please. That's it, man. Nice listening to you guys. I've got a lot of calls.
All right. Thanks, Javon. Call again.
I like how everybody's ending the calls. I'll let you go. I know you get a lot of calls.
Yeah, that's very, very nice.
And that's what he just said is he didn't need to do the hand. And that may have been the best coverage play I've seen him make as a Patriot, even going back to the summer. It was phenomenal. He had the position, his, you know, take advantage of your reach, boom.
I'd like to see that
and then
again.
He wiped it out.
I'd like to see that play again.
Why would you like to see that play again?
To see if the ball could have been caught if he didn't spin him. Because he definitely spun him.
I don't think.
Well, everybody keeps saying he didn't need to do it.
Oh, I don't think he did.
But he spun.
No, he didn't.
So, Fred, his upper body completely turned.
No.
Wait, didn't he deflect the ball?
Yeah, he did.
Who?
Yeah.
Browner deflected the ball.
Yeah, but does he deflect the ball if he doesn't spin Thomas out of the way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's such hyperbolic.
Fred, you don't even think he turned him. So, I think you sort of need to forfeit the opinion.
He turned to catch the ball, but he didn't turn him. Corey,
who turned to catch what?
The receiver turned to catch the ball, but it wasn't because of Browner
turning. To catch a ball.
The rotation's the other way.
Corey,
why would he turn the other way?
Corey's
he's pulling him this way. It rotates
gonna,
him that
I'm
way.
I'm going to separate myself in this one. I need to see another replay.
Please,
there seems to be
do.
A lot. I do.
No, you need to as well, Fred. You two, during a break, should sit down in front of a computer monitor and watch the damn play.
I'm envisioning something different than what is being described to me.
Corey's in Wisconsin. Hey, Corey.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I got to go to Foxborough for the first time last weekend, and I couldn't have picked a better day.
Oh, that
nice.
Was great. Yeah. Weather was great, right?
Well, you got a little bit of everything. You got the snow early, then you got the good weather for the game. And the only thing is, I will say, as far as Manning-Brady games go, it wasn't as entertaining as some of them.
It was entertaining from a Patriots side.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't. It's not a memorable game where you're going to be like,
see, I would take, as a Patriots fan, that's the game I would take every time.
Right.
I like last year.
So, it's sort of funny. My stepmom is not, she's not a Patriots fan. She liked Elway back when he played, and she's a Giants fan. So seeing you know, them blow out the Broncos did not make her happy.
Wait a minute. You're not the one who was leaving from Manchester late, were you?
I was. I made it.
Oh, you made it in time for the game? Because we had people actually emailing in wondering.
No, actually, I made it like halfway through the first quarter.
that's fast enough.
Well, and you missed,
the punt that they were losing.
And punts. I mean, you didn't miss a ton of plays.
By the time you got there, the Patriots had the lead.
But
Fred, do you know the backstory? Corey was in Manchester, called the pregame social at, I mean, it was in like the second hour, it felt. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to the game. And he's like,
We're like, shouldn't you leave? You're in Manchester. There's traffic. And
it's like an hour and a half ride.
Waiting for my stepmom to get home to bring me in. And we were worried. We thought he was going to miss. But, you know, mid-first quarter, not terrible.
So I thought the defense was the shining factor in that game. I thought I thought it was going to end up being like 51-48 or something like that. The New England defense just, they kicked ass. They did what they went there to do, and they stopped them up.
I agree. I think that was the difference in the game. It was only 21 for Denver was the difference in the game to me.
I mean, it's just great to see Peyton Manning post, you know, almost 450 yards and nothing to show for it.
Only 21 points, absolutely.
Yep. All right, Corey, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, are you a winner or a loser this weekend?
Loser.
This weekend, I am a winner.
All right.
Like Paul Perillo, and Paul and I sometimes are a little bit contrarian, go against the grain and admit when we're wrong, but this time we were right.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and Jeff, you might have picked up on this. Darren Revelle had an article after the game about how the Sal Palantonio hit that he did before the game, covered in snow, really affected the number in terms of over-under, and that a whole bunch of money came in on the under after they saw Palantonio, and of course, you know, they went over it easily.
So stupid.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
But don't they ever watch Brady? I mean, these people that see snow and automatically hit the under, don't they ever watch Brady play?
No, I know, but...
Well, a lot of times, guys, that's counterintuitive. And you might remember that weekend last year where there were like three games where like whiteout conditions, like all three of them went way over.
Yeah.
Everyone took the under, you know, not to generalize. But, yeah, you really got to watch that. And that's a trend you want to... you know, fade or go against, if you will. Yeah, so if that number started to really drop, I think it was 51 right when I talked to the guys on the social, and, you know, probably dropped, you know, 49.5, that's when you want to pound it on the over. That's when you back up the truck on the over. Okay. Not that it's ever a sure thing, of course.
That was pretty much a sure thing in that game that I was going over.
Yeah, with Manning... you know, but what a win. I mean, I just tweeted out a picture. I got my Tom Brady popsicle stick head. Next, you can see, I tweeted a picture of my desk where I work. There's a couple Denver fans here, and they have their heads between their knees or their legs or whatever. They're just in shame the entire week. Great having the bye week. We can have 12 full days to savor this one, and it feels good.
Yep, it sure does. All
right, stuff, Jeff.
Well, lastly, Fred, thanks to Mark the Beetle Beltran for retweeting a picture of me with the eye candy dancers. It's really gotten me a lot of cred with everyone else in Vegas. Lock it in. Hey, guys, let's do a lunch next week on Jeff in Vegas. Lock it in.
All right. Kevin, on it.
Love you.
All right, we're going to lock in his
love
lunch
you,
like
it.
We do his picks.
Who took a picture of me interviewing Gronkowski? Was that you?
No.
No, he didn't even know you interviewed Gronkowski.
I didn't.
It wasn't me because I wasn't here in time.
Well, Christian just tweeted it to me, and they've put... like words on the bottom. No, Andy, I don't want a foot rub is what Gronk was saying.
So that's not what Andy was looking to give Gronk anyway.
I replied, right. Neck, question mark?
Norm's in Chicago.
I keep
hey,
it
Norm.
Clean on Twitter.
Norm!
Hey!
Norman?
Can you hear me?
Norman?
Yeah. Okay, great. Hey, first time caller, and I love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for listening.
I have a couple points. One is I've watched every game so far this season, and it just seems that Brady's arm just was zippier during this game. I mean, more powerful than, maybe it's just me, and I wanted to see if you guys noticed the same thing, or has it been the same so far this season?
I think his arms look fine all season. I think that a lot of times, though, when a guy's on the run and he throws like that, it looks, you know, he has to put more into it because he doesn't have his legs underneath him, so it looks like his arm, he's actually using more of his arm when he's on the run.
And now, I haven't noticed this great arm strength growth, but just theoretically, we've criticized him for maybe being indecisive, feeling the pressure, not comfortable with his targets. Don't you think if you're now comfortable in the pocket and comfortable that your receivers are going to be where they are, you're putting everything you have into the throws, there's no lack of,
sure,
you know what I mean? You're just going, you're all in, you're boom, you're throwing it. Now, I will say, I thought the throw to Amendola was, he threw a fastball that was ill-advised.
I know it got deflected, tipped a little schmidgen at the line, and then hit off Amendola, led to the pick. But I thought that was a case where he just kind of threw a fastball up for grabs over the middle.
Yeah, a terrible throw. Yeah, but the
one other quick point, the dropped ball by LaFell in the end zone.
Yeah.
Now, this is my gut talking, okay, so I don't have anything to back this up. But it seems to me that Amendola, he would have caught that ball. And I just think, I feel like I want to see him more in the offense.
I know, but can he get open? You know, that's
the question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem.
You know what? I'm going to look at the bright side. He dropped the ball, but then he went back to him.
Yep.
True.
Right?
He did not blackball him and bench him.
That's all I care about. Guys are going to drop balls.
Don't I have a famous drop-in somewhere where they're never happy?
It's
now that we have LaFell as a
he drops a couple of passes.
Complimentary receiver, we want an exchange of
I mean, he's emerged, in my opinion, I just made an argument with Andy that he's been my most pleasant surprise through the first half of the season.
Next week you'll tell me it wasn't him.
And we all said before the season, other than Gronkowski and Edelman, somebody had to step up.
And it's been him.
You know, whether it was Dobson or something.
I think you can make the argument he stepped up ahead of Edelman, to be honest. I mean, the way the last month has gone.
Yeah, but I'm talking going into the season. You know, we didn't know how it was going to play out. We knew that they needed that third target, and it's become LaFell.
Hey, guys, last question. Dobson, is he on the team next year?
I don't see the – what has he done not to be? That's my problem.
What has he done to be?
I just think other guys have jumped ahead of him. But for all we know, they could put him out there and he could be okay.
Well, but there's also a chance that Amendola is not on the team.
Well, yeah.
So you have a slot that could open. Good chance Timms might not be on the team. I know everybody's madly in love with him, but who knows if he's around.
Right.
But I just think the Amendola one, you could swap out Dobson for Amendola.
You never know. Boyce might all of a sudden get it. Now he's back on the squad. You know,
so a nice highlight of Boyce over the weekend was watching the TCU West Virginia game when they showed the last time they were in West Virginia, he caught like a 94-yard touchdown pass in the last minute to win the game.
All right, Norm. Hey, call again. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot.
All right,
Gase.
Let's go to Frank in North
Dakota. I'm not that big a fan. After that game the other day, I'm not a big fan of Gase.
Frank, what's going up in North Dakota?
It's cold up here. Winter's back.
Is it?
Yeah. Hey, love your show. Love the team. This 2014 Patriot team might be the best one we've seen in quite a while.
It could be. It could turn out that way.
We'll see. We're starting to get to the point where you go in that direction. If you continue to roll into November, December, January, then you become one of those historic teams. If you don't, then you don't live up to it.
You know, I think he's right.
That Cole team, the Cole team is scary. I mean, what we saw last night, that's evident. They really bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, I think once Jonas Gray gets more into the mix, they'll be more a complete team.
Now, do you think he will? Yeah. In all seriousness,
I don't know. It was interesting because, you know, he had early runs and he wasn't getting anywhere. I mean, he was getting stuffed, and I thought a couple times if he had popped it out, maybe he could have, but he chose to play it safe. And then they took him out, and Vereen was in for a lot after that. I think he's walking a fine line, I think, with the team. I don't think that they've said this is our guy between the tackles at all.
I think they have.
Really?
Who else?
I think Vereen's going to.
That's when they spread him out.
Yeah.
Well,
this was a spread him out game. We talked about that coming in. This was a Vereen type game.
I just got the sense that, you know, they want to give him his chances, but.
But this wasn't his game to get his chances. This wasn't we're going to come out and he's going to get, you know, 10 carries in the first quarter.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I'm not putting any of it on Gray, to be honest with you. I know you're not, but I don't think they're a very good run offense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me either.
I don't think they're a very good run offense, and I think they were going against a team that stops the run. They didn't run for a yard.
My point is I think they're going to have to run at some point. Will he be the guy that's running?
They need to run it better.
You do?
Yes, I do. I think they made that decision. They haven't brought anybody in. That I don't think Bolden is an option. I don't think Vereen is an option or White is an option. So by process of elimination, that means Jonas Gray is the option.
Well, the other thing, we were talking to Ivan Fierce today. The coaches were made available, and there was a lot of Jonas Gray talk, and
all from Fred.
I was hoping to hear from him. You know, something special about this guy. Oh, burst or vision or patience or footwork. And all it was hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say. He's not special, Fred.
Hey, go on for
he's a third-year journeyman.
Yeah. It's not like he's just out of college, you know.
I think he's got some good burst for a man his size.
See, I think he's just the opposite. I think he's a turtle with good power.
With power. He's going to make his
he's
money.
He's got good power.
Power.
Someone told me he had
power. If he's a turtle, then James White is going backwards.
James White's a totally different kind of player.
I don't care, but he's supposed to be smaller and faster.
Yeah, but he's
and
indecisive.
He doesn't look
he's
it
indecisive.
That way.
The he doesn't know what he's
runs,
doing.
Okay. Not his ability to
yeah,
run.
Pro Football Focus, and I don't know the validity. You could take these stats and do whatever you want. He had 33 yards the other day. Pro Football Focus had him at 28 of those 33 were after contact. That's what Jonas Gray is. He's not going to go down the first guy that hits him.
But that's he's good.
Yes. That's but he's not this shifty guy who's going to bounce runs outside. He's not as fast as Ridley.
Yeah, but 33 yards isn't good, especially when you had, I think, 13 on one play.
He had
10 carries for 20 yards.
He did nothing,
yards,
and that 13-yard game, that came like
right.
on the last drive of the game.
Basically, you were 2 yards a carry.
As a team, they were below 3 yards a carry in that game for 25 carries. Not like they only ran the ball like 8 times.
It's hard to not have yards after contact when you're averaging 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, they
that would mean you were crossing the line and falling down.
They
and
struggled.
Then somebody would touch you.
Hey, quick question for you.
Yes.
Yeah, back in 91, Belichick was defensive coordinator with the Giants and went to the Super Bowl with the Bills. I remember he really put together a great game plan for a kind of a rhythm hot read offense like Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas brought to the table. And in 91 in the Super Bowl, he basically sold it to the defense that they had to allow Thurman Thomas about 100 yards on the ground in order to keep the Bills from doing what they do best. And I thought that really played out in that game with Peyton. You give Peyton that time, you get him in a rhythm, he eats you alive. And they gave them enough of a running game so it kept Peyton out of rhythm for most of the game, and then they were able to throw in some blitzes and a few things along the way that really kind of set Peyton back, and maybe the weather played a factor. And, of course, playing in Massachusetts isn't his favorite place. But I just thought it came back. It just reminded me of the game in 91 with the Bills.
No, see, I agree with you that Belichick's game plan played a big part in the win, but how it played out was nothing like that game with the Giants. I mean, that was what Rodney Hampton or whoever it was running the ball. Yeah. The Patriots running
it was
game.
Otis Anderson
had no factor in this game.
That's the narrative. I mean, Frank is right. That's the narrative. But the Giants controlled the ball for 41 minutes in that game. The Giants offense.
Hold on.
Yeah,
the Giants
true.
Offense won that game, not the defense.
Right.
In my opinion. And
well, that's what I mean.
No,
they
I'm
were
with
running
you.
The ball.
I'm absolutely. Yeah. I'm 100%
and
with
Peyton,
you.
They didn't run the ball at all.
And Denver couldn't run the ball at all the other day.
They tried early on. He had a couple. I think he had 2 handoffs the first drive, 3 and out,
and
another
and
handoff.
The fact that they
and there was like
run,
5 yards total.
The fact
that
they couldn't
Broncos
run is why
worse.
They were in so many third and longs.
17 for 43. The Broncos were even worse. 2.5 as opposed to 2.6. So they were even slightly worse than
but
the Patriots.
I think they even started to think about running. The first drive, I believe the first 2 plays were run. It was sort of like a Josh McDaniels game plan where, well, we tried to run, now we're just going to throw.
Right. Yeah, it just seems like we're not going to be able to do that today.
And I don't fault them for it because you're not going to – I didn't think they could run with Ronnie Hillman. I didn't think that was the game plan. I don't think he's a workhorse. I wasn't looking for him to carry the offense. I thought it was kind of the game that played out. Didn't you tell me it was the first time 2 quarterbacks threw 50 passes in a game?
That was the Gilbrant tweeted it was the most pass attempts by 2 quarterbacks in a non-overtime game.
So, I mean, I think that was the game. Win or lose, and he had his yards, he just didn't have his plays. He just didn't make the plays.
All right, let's get to some emails. Phil in Sussex, not to pile on a guy who's quickly become public enemy number one, but I was watching a piece on the Denver Post website, and Mike Kliss wasn't sure that the Broncos are the best team in their division, so it seems his snap judgments aren't just confined to the Patriots. And I always like to read some stuff from opposing reporters, not to jump on them, but just to see a different take on the Patriots. Most of my exposure to the Patriots is through PFW and Mike Reese, so I like to balance out the homers with the haters. And P.S., Browner's best penalty was when he just decided to square up to Julius Thomas before the snap. I don't know why that was his best, but all right.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about the teams that are playing well now or whatever. Kansas City probably needs to be in that conversation in the AFC. They've played pretty well after a terrible start.
And we know the Patriots would have nightmares. AFC title game, you got to go back to Kansas City.
Patriots, Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, emails in. Gentlemen and Andy, first off, is Paul ready to talk Felger and Maz off the ledge after the win? I'd add Beetle, but the guy who shut the window was actually the pro-Patriots one.
that is funny. The negative Patriots one is the one who thought this team was a, what does he call it, a wagon.
A wagon.
And the pro-Patriots one is the one that closed the
door. That show was all over the place, though. Because they both were completely convinced the Patriots were going to lay the smack down on Denver this week. And as Andy just said, Felger thinks they're a wagon. It's an absolute disgrace if they don't make it to the Super Bowl. And yet Beadle, who has all the positive things to say about everything Patriots, believes the window is shut. Although he said on Sunday after the game he might have to open the window again.
Let me ask a question in all seriousness.
Well, I'm not done with his email.
Okay, well, I am going to ask you a question anyway. In the AFC, favorite to go to the Super Bowl right now, if I said you can take the Patriots or the field, who would you take? Paul, while he's thinking.
I would take the field just out of, I would play the odds.
Okay.
I would take the field.
Yeah, I mean.
The Patriots right now deserve to be at the top of the AFC.
Right.
They are number one, not just in standings. They deserve to be at the top.
And Vegas still has 7-2, I think, for Broncos and Patriots 5-1.
Well, because there's a, I think that's home field.
Right.
There's
and most
still
people
a good chance
still
the
believe
Broncos,
that the game will be in Denver.
Yeah.
Because the Denver Broncos have a much easier schedule than the Patriots do the rest of the way.
Let's go back to William Berry's email. He says, second, Gronk wasn't touched. Someone remind Paul who signs his checks and then tell him this was sarcasm. Third, this does not mean the Patriots are clearly the best team. The Arizona Cardinals will be the consensus best team. You guys know how this works, right, Fred? This time remind Andy.
I watched yesterday. I watched.
This time remind Andy that we are playing the disrespect card and adjust the Wilson Hart Index accordingly.
No, I will never, ever adjust it.
Although everything's come in line with the Wilson Hart Index this week. I don't
know
what's
going
on. Well,
it's a good, listen, those
are the first time.
I think those are the three best teams.
5 years, 4 years.
Or last year, wire to wire, the Seahawks were far and away the best team in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Four, the bye week will be tougher than anyone thinks. In the six pack, Paul might pick it. That could be. And P.S., John Rook is okay. He seems negative to new people because he's reading negative emails or posits negative hypotheticals to generate discussion. He is sane. In other news, he needs Eric as a counterpoint. Wait for it. He is sane. He needs Eric to have someone different than sane. Someone draw lines for Andy. No, Andy, I drew lines with your mom. I have no idea what that means either.
Wow. Voices in the head.
That's Paul's favorite email.
He is. He's the best.
Yeah. You guys, yeah, very similar in a lot of ways.
He's the best.
LT from Adelaide, I absolutely loved watching the Patriots dominate the Broncos. This game reminded me of the good old days earlier last decade where Bill had the edge over Peyton. I think that an important aspect of the Patriots' success is exceptional game planning. I notice that every time we play Peyton, Bill schemes up different things to confuse him and beat him pre-snap. The opposite does not seem to be true. Where it doesn't seem that other teams' defenses scheme up something special to confuse Tom, besides Rex Ryan, I don't think there are a lot of game plan type coaches, which amplifies the gap between Bill and other coaches and also makes the offense's job easier. Keep up the great work. Please ask Eric if he is no longer a doubting Thomas, or how much more do the Pats have to show before he believes again?
We'd like to know that, what the breakdown is on true game plan coaches and true we do what we do coaches.
Yeah, I've said that a lot. And there's a lot of guys that I just have no idea about.
Why doesn't like one of those Mike Sando guys do that for me? You know those guys that like to do all
the
national
stuff. These guys, because they can count. Well, never mind.
Go ahead, Paul. No, please don't hold back, Paul. Go ahead.
I just think in this era now where everybody is sort of, you know, investing themselves into the film and showing you about this particular play or that particular play, but no one really knows what they're watching. No one knows.
I thought that was going to be harsher.
I cleaned it up. It didn't come from up here to out here the same, just so you know.
Alex in Philly, if you gave me 1,000 guesses, I would never have guessed that outcome on Sunday. It wasn't that the Patriots won. It was how they won. What made this win even more satisfying than the win last year was that it wasn't about the weather. I don't think the weather had much impact on the game at all. There was nothing fluky that happened, and there were no egregious referee calls that swayed the game one way or the other. They just lined up, punched the Denver Chocos in the mouth, and they tucked in tail and ran. This win proved to me that even though Denver is still more talented, the Patriots are the tougher, more physical team. It also proved that as long as Eric keeps picking against the Patriots, they can't lose. He's like a good luck charm of negativity. Keep it up, Eric. Did you guys make anything about the Jay Glazer story that came out just before the game? Welker, I guess, the night before, addressed the team and said, you know, I've been with the Patriots and I know what's going on in that locker room. Right now, Belichick is telling, you know, that he doesn't respect any of us, that we're front runners, that, you know, all this. You buy that story?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Do I buy that Welker said that to his team? Yeah.
Okay.
Do I think it's a big deal? No. Do I think he was just trying to rile up his team and play the disrespect card and personalize that matchup? Yes. Did it work? No. But why? You don't buy it? Jay Glazer's never wrong.
I don't know.
Jay Glazer, in my opinion, is about as if he says it, it happened.
So you think it's, you know, all this stuff about Welker really not liking it here, you think that was true?
I think he probably didn't like the overall atmosphere here. I think he probably loved the offense, loved Tom Brady, loved catching passes.
But not winning.
I don't think a lot of... No. See, that's what... The overall atmosphere is... winning is a factor. It is a thing. But the atmosphere is something different. That is the day-to-day feeling, air, money, value, whatever, respect, all those different things that play into that. And I think he probably didn't like it. And I think a lot of people may not like it.
Should Wes Welker retire?
Yes. I said to Paul, he's flat out done. He catches the ball. He looks to dive down as soon as possible. He's clearly thinking about his head and his health. He's not as good, clearly. And part of that is probably because he doesn't play with that reckless abandon that made him so great. He is just done. I hope he doesn't do much the rest of the year. Collect your paychecks and ride.
Plus, if his helmet gets any bigger, he's going to have to line up like 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage because... I mean, it's huge.
Really?
I'm glad we can take it seriously.
Really?
I think he should retire, but I thought going into the year, when he got the concussion in the preseason, it was more of a self-preservation kind of thing. I felt bad for him. I wanted him to stop before he, you know, was doing any more damage. But the way Andy just put it is the reason why I think he's as done as can be.
Yeah.
And you're probably right, Andy. Part of the reason why he looks as done as he is probably because he's no longer playing with reckless abandon, right. And that was part of what made him as good as he was. But too many hits. He does not. He just doesn't look like the same guy.
Tim in Westerly, Rhode Island. I can't help but think of AD, Adrian Peterson, being in a Patriots uniform. He could use a fresh start and would fill a glaring need for the Patriots. The question is, would Robert Kraft go for it? It could be a great redemption story. At least that's how I would sell it to him. Your thoughts. And P.S., Paul, just imagine if Brady wasn't in decline, the Patriots could have scored 50 last week.
Yep.
And Eric, I beg you to take the Colts in 2 weeks. You guys are must-listen radio.
Probably would have been better than 6-for-16 on third down if he wasn't in decline.
I'm kidding, by the way, before you guys yell at me. I don't see Robert Kraft embracing the Adrian Peterson story. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but he was so adamant that Ray Rice wouldn't play for him. I don't envision it. I think he's going to Dallas. I think he'll be a Dallas Cowboy.
Well, wait a minute. Do the Vikings still have his
yes,
rights?
Yes, yeah, yes, right. yes. But he will be available. There was some talk that they were going to try to get away from him sort of anyway, that the money and the him first part of the offense.
Yeah, you know, the irrelevance of running backs, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, by the way, I tweeted just for you.
Patriots
yesterday.
Haven't played better since Stephen Ridley went down. Just saying.
I tweeted just for you. The Patriots in the first half had 18 rushing yards and 27 points. Got to get the running game going.
All right, let's go to the
phone. Do you, Fred? I'd like you to weigh in on this. You know the Kraft family. You've been around for multiple decades with the Kraft family. Do you think Adrian Peterson will be on the consideration list?
I think that overall, you know, a guy like that, I don't think they would rule him out. But after what Robert Kraft said on national television, I don't think he can now. I think he's painted himself in a corner.
And I also...
But didn't he say that about Ray Rice?
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
no. He said that about Ray Rice. Yeah.
Oh. Then I'm wrong. Then I apologize.
But I do think... I actually think things are tied together.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, it's abuse against a woman or a child.
Oh, no. I understand that. They are tied together. But in terms of the whole painting itself into a corner, it was about Ray Rice, not about
Adrian Peterson. Then I'm wrong.
I still think it kind of paints you into a corner, but it leaves a little strip along the wall.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I also think it's an issue where in Dallas or somewhere down there, and by down there, I mean down south, I think you can sell it to your fan base, your constituency, a lot easier than
you trot
Massachusetts.
Him out. You trot him out. He didn't fight.
No, but there are some people who think it's just okay.
No, I'm saying
you
with
don't
any
even
team,
have to sell him.
With any team, you trot him out. He shows contrition. Yeah, I realize now that what I did was wrong. Look, if Mike Vick can be redeemed, why can't Adrian Peterson?
Well, because as much as people mock that people care more about dogs than people, I don't know that they do.
Yeah, but the one thing Adrian Peterson didn't do in all this, he didn't lie, like a lot of these guys. He came out and said he did it. I thought it was, you know.
Well,
Ray Rice didn't lie either.
No, I don't know about that. The facts aren't out on that yet.
Everybody says that he didn't lie.
Right.
Well, all the people involved, with the exception of Roger Goodell, claim he didn't lie.
Well, that's a big exception.
And, you know, the one guy who
didn't
wanted
lie
to
Goodell
not testify.
Either.
What's that?
The one guy who did all he could to stay away from testifying in the hearing.
Well, Goodell specifically said the tape was not exactly what we thought it was going to be.
I think that around here they have so much goodwill. They'll get barraged in the short term.
Sure.
With the Dan Shaughnessy columns. And the various Globe, Eileen McNamara's of the day. I don't even know who their big, you know, columnists are anymore. That'll happen in the short term if they were to make a signing like this. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, it would be all but forgotten. And, you know, the Patriots would be off and on their way. I don't think they'll do it because I agree with Andy.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's too similar to the situation that Robert specifically said he would not embrace.
Yeah, right.
I think the environment
has changed.
And by the way.
But I think they'd get away with it if they did it.
See, I don't think they'd get away with it because I'll just use my own personal examples, my family, who probably don't really know what happened with Adrian Peterson, but people on the news that are kind of dealing with the story will be portraying everything. You know, the pictures of the kid and the wounds.
Oh, yeah.
He jammed leaves. Yeah. And
it'll all be relived.
For a couple of weeks,
my wife and mother will see that, yeah, and she'll be pissed.
And you'll hear from the girlfriend. And
the news will stop portraying it. My wife will still remember when she sees Peterson on the carry. She'll still be pissed at the Patriots because I know my wife.
But how
and
many
I know
people
my
do you think are like your wife?
I think
and
more
I'm not
than
making
you
fun
think.
Of Deidre. I think that's a very rational look.
I think here.
There'll be 68,000 plus every game.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be fighting to get in there. The ratings will be just as high as they were for every single game, and they will not be affected one bit.
But I don't know that they should. But I think there will be people who don't like it, who think it's
distasteful. Will you study my credit card number?
Sure.
And don't forget, the other issue is, you know, say this happens next spring. The Aaron Hernandez trial is January, right? So it won't be all that far removed from
these people would take Aaron Hernandez back.
Now, Paul.
I'm telling you,
who exactly are these people?
Patriots fans. I don't think it was really, really ambiguous in any way. If there was some technicality that Aaron Hernandez got off and he was suddenly scot-free, you don't think Patriots fans would embrace him?
No, not that. No,
I think you're wrong.
I don't.
He thinks Patriots fans are terrible people.
I don't. All right, one more call, then we'll take a break. Ann Stone from Colorado, from the Pikes Peak Pats fan club, was here for the game, and she's calling in. Hey, Ann, how'd you enjoy Sunday?
Oh, my God. Best game ever.
Ever! Wicked pisser.
Other than the wind and the cold, it was just spectacular. It's just spectacular. I can't say enough about the atmosphere. People, really, I mean, so great that they would be like, offense at work, and the whole stadium would just be quiet.
Right.
And then as soon as Manning was up, screaming, yelling, you know, driving him bonkers. It was just fabulous. I loved it.
How did the tailgating go pregame?
Oh, the tailgating was great. Great. You can't beat a couple of Boston firefighters cooking for you.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it really was great.
All right. Well, you brought good luck to the Patriots all the way from Denver, or Colorado Springs, actually.
And now you can tell them, all the locals, where you are to stick it for a while.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you, people are not seeking me out. Like, if we had lost, people would be, like, you know, driving by my house waiting to get a glimpse of me, you know. And now no one's calling. No one's thinking, because they don't want to listen to me brag.
That's right. All right, Ann. Well, thanks for calling in.
Good job, Ann.
Ann Stone from the Pikes Peak Pats Club. I don't know why I just turned my mic off.
Because you meant to drop the call and you dropped your mic.
Ann's still there. Okay.
He's a bleeping moron. he dropped himself.
Too many buttons. All right.
I think we should write a script and have her read it. Just like, she's tremendous. Can't.
All right, let's take a break. Food's here. We'll be right back. Lots of emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Am I back now? All right. I got my mic on. We're ready to go. PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Chris from Hamilton, Ontario, is mad at Paul. He says, if you are serious, Patriots fans would take Aaron Hernandez back after that murder crap. I want to see a video of Andy slapping you from Hell's Creation full on the face and leaving a five-finger red mark on it. Granted, there's always going to be some complete morons that will accept anything. Those numbnuts are few and far between. And Peterson, yeah, I could see him playing for the Patriots, but after he does his time, everyone forgets Mike Vick spent jail time and came back.
Well, Peterson is not going to
plea. Same with Plaxico Burress. The only person that has gotten in the NFL after killing someone is Ray Lewis, and that's because he was acquitted. What about Dante Stallworth?
And Leonard Little.
Yeah. Right. I've never been so pissed about how phenomenally stupid a comment that's said on this program about Patriots fans. And by the way, the reason I picked Andy is simply because Fred's too old, Eric's too soft, and I know Andy will make sure it's done right.
So you would
before you respond, can I read something off
Twitter?
So
you would have taken Ray Lewis because he was acquitted. That's what I'm suggesting, if Hernandez was acquitted.
Right.
So it's the same thing. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But
I'm
said on a technicality.
I'm sorry. Was Ray Lewis not a technicality?
No, it wasn't.
He's not a murderer.
Okay. Well, what I'm suggesting is...
Richard Seymour told me he's not a murderer.
Obviously, he's not going to go to jail for murder and come out in time to be able to play in the NFL, Fred.
Right.
I'm suggesting if he somehow were to get off...
Right.
There would be an element of people that wouldn't be like we are and say... Yeah, he got off on some sort of technicality, but I mean, we know he's guilty of sin. Right. No, I think there'd be a large segment of people saying, "I'd take him back." Well, what he did, he paid his debt to society.
But what if he honestly got cleared of all charges and it was legit?
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of him.
It's two separate cases, too.
I wouldn't want any part of him. I've
he
read
has
enough
to get off of two murders.
No, but I'm not
three murders, two trials.
But I read all the other stuff about him. I wouldn't want the guy on my team now knowing what I know.
Yeah, I think you can't.
Even if you eliminated the murder part. I know.
He's done.
I know. It was a hypothetical if he had gotten off.
Well, he might get off.
No,
he's
not going to get off.
Joe in Michigan, a cousin of mine posed this question, and a huge argument ensued. So I want your guys' thoughts on this.
Oh, great. So you're bringing it to PFW.
If you could have a healthy J.J. Watt or a healthy Gronk, which one would you take? I argued Watt. And so did several others, but I can understand the Gronk side as well. My argument was that I believe the Texans suffer a lot more if they are missing Watt, mainly because I've seen the Patriots still be successful with Gronk missing games.
Nah.
What's your take on this? Thanks, guys. Keep up the work. No, it's Gronk.
It's Gronk.
I mean, the Patriots have played the Texans a couple times with Watt, and they handled them pretty well.
But that's not
nobody
Watt's
can
fault.
Handle Gronk. Nobody can handle Gronk.
But it's just, it's totally different. I mean, they are similar in... They are dominant impact players in the prime of their career. I think they have somewhat similar work ethics, personalities. They have that wrestler John Cena-esque thing they got going on, but it's an offensive league, and you put Gronk with a decent quarterback, and you're going to score a lot of points.
And I would argue with the notion that this team has been overly successful without Gronk. I think that there's been a marked drop-off every time he's been out of the lineup.
What do you think about that, Fred? I brought that up post-game. The more we see Gronk, the more painful it is looking back and saying,
oh, yeah.
What if he had been healthy?
Oh, yeah.
You might have two more Super Bowls.
Oh, you win 2011.
Probably.
For sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
And you might have another one. Maybe you beat Denver last year. You could have two more Super... Like, he is so good and important, he could have changed history.
Yeah.
History would... Tom Brady would be the greatest quarterback that ever walked the planet.
And that's why, if you truly look at what an MVP is, he should be in the running. He should be.
You don't have to... I mean, I am the biggest Gronk fan there is. I will be writing this week. I'm going to try to get Ron Borges, that little conversation we had in the locker room. I'm going to try to get him to go on the record with something. I think that he's a Hall of Famer, that he's just that dominant. He's a Hall of Famer.
Because think about it. Even as good as the defense played on Sunday, without Gronk, you're struggling to score 20 points. You know, and now Manning's got hope, and it's a totally different game, and you lose it.
And I didn't.
You probably lose it.
I didn't go back and watch it, but, you know, I talked about this year earlier when LaFell had that touchdown. I said it was all Gronk. Three guys went with him. Apparently on Edelman's touchdown, if you watch, they all go with Gronk. It's another Gronk-esque touchdown where he doesn't score it, but he's the reason it gets scored because everybody drifts with him. And that, you know, he got his 50th touchdown. He is one of the fastest to do it, second only to Allworth. He's one of only, like, five guys to do it. And then, the next quickest tight end to 50? Antonio Gates at 92 games.
Right.
33 games, more than two full seasons.
And in this game, in this game particular, early on, the Broncos were bracketing Gronk. They were putting more than one guy on, and Brady was hurting them elsewhere. The moment they left him one-on-one, bang.
And that's what he's going to get his... You know, I said 8 for 80 and 1. I think he rolls out of bed and gets that. If you focus on him, okay, maybe that's what you'll hold him to.
Right.
If you don't, then he's going to get his buck 50 in 2 or 3.
Right.
So do you want him to make touchdowns for LaFell and Edelman, or do you want him to just get the touchdowns? But either way, somebody's getting the touchdowns.
Yeah, Denver looks at that game on Sunday and says, we need to do a better job with the other stuff.
Right.
I thought Tlaib was terrible in that game the other day, because I thought he was asked most time. Now, he was on Gronk a couple times, too. But I thought, for the most part, he was asked to take Brandon LaFell and other times Julian Edelman. And he didn't do that job well. And they lost guys in zones. That was like a 20-yard completion to Edelman on a scramble by Brady that he sort of ducked out of trouble. He rolled to his right, and he fired a bullet that they all looked like they all had him surrounded. And then the ball came in, and they just stopped. That's what Andy's right. You bracket Gronk and what was it, 9 for 105?
Yes.
And a touchdown. Now, you take away the silly catch and you can live with the performance that Gronk had. You know, I mean, the silly one-handed, left-handed catch, right, which was just unbelievable. One of the, I don't know, four or five best catches I've ever seen, really. I think Denver would take that. But you can't allow, you know, Edelman and LaFell to get in the end zone the way they
did. And now I will say this. If the Broncos had done to Gronk in September what they did now, they might win, because at that time, for whatever reason, Brady was unable to get to these other guys.
And he wasn't back yet either.
Ooh.
I think Gronk is more back.
He
was
but
the
guy. But I'm
saying,
even with
up.
A healthy Gronk back then.
No, but even I think Fred's
maybe.
Saying, even if he had the 9 for 105 and Brady was just focusing on Gronk,
right,
he may not have gone to LaFell as many times as he did. He may not have gone to Edelman. Probably still would have gone to Edelman. But
he would have dropped it back then. No, I'm only kidding. TGNNJ writes in, I didn't expect that. Can we go back to what was being said about this team after the Kansas City game? Can we now admit that Trent Dilfer should never be listened to again? How do we avoid being duped by bad football going forward? I know it's all about reacting and it's sports talk and fanaticism, but I think we need to recognize that we can no longer make blatant statements until we get to a certain point in the season.
Now.
Belichick used to say, you don't know what you have as a team until week 6, but now with the new CBA lack of practice rules, maybe it takes longer. How are we to make sense of the inconsistencies this season? Are we to expect to win outright going forward? Yes, says Fred. Could we still see a bad loss sometime in the remainder of the schedule? No, says Fred. No, we could. Absolutely. We could lose to the Lions and beat the Packers and the Colts.
Oh, my.
Yes. You know?
Absolutely.
Don't sleep on the rest of the East.
I think the Lions are as
good
as
Miami the is playing as good as anyone right
they're now. They're kind of lying in the weeds. Maybe they're looking for a little late season upset.
The thing is about those teams, you know, because it is starting to get to the point where you have to start taking the Bills and Dolphins seriously, only one game back.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't, because they have the same schedule that you have. And I don't see those teams. I know the Patriots can, you know, put a 6-1 up the rest of the way, or even run the table. I know that Miami and the Bills can't. And that's what it would take. One of those teams, in order to overtake the Patriots, would have to sort of go on a run that they've never done before. The Patriots would simply have to finish the season the way they always finish the season.
Do what we do.
Yeah.
Wait. One thing we should talk about, just I think, is the Rob Gronkowski, TJ Ward hits on the knee. I don't know if you have any emails on that, but that a lot of play on Twitter yesterday. I know Teddy Bruschi said he'd go low on Gronk because, you know, he's bigger than me, so I'm going to tackle him low. Matt Bowen, former safety, who's now National Football Post or maybe Bleacher, was taking heat because he thinks that's how he would do it. That's how you have to do it. Gronkowski, I actually spoke with him this morning, one-on-one. That'll be on Patriots Football Weekly TV Thursday. Doesn't really have a problem with it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. I've said this before. I think it's physics. Little guy see big guy coming. Little guy go low.
I mentioned that when you stepped out a little earlier.
Okay. I had to poop.
And I did sort of. But no, it's good because we get an extra promo for your interview with Gronk. When Akeem Ayers had the huge fourth down sack of Peyton Manning, did anybody think he went for his knees? I didn't.
No,
I
but
he
I
tackled
did,
him.
I did think that was a. In this league, I think that's a penalty.
I worried about it.
No.
I looked for a flag.
But that's not the.
And I think you should have gotten a flag in this league. I hate the flag, but they call that flag.
But don't misunderstand my. Whether it's a flag or not is largely irrelevant. Do you think he was trying to take out his knees?
No.
People believe that TJ Ward is trying to take out Rob Gronkowski's knee.
Well, he is.
As long as we bring some
sanity. You sound just like Mike Adams.
He has a history.
Now, I hate that rule on the quarterbacks that, you know, where you hit them. I was really relieved, in all seriousness, to see that didn't draw a flag, because there's nothing there. There's no there. There's nothing to see. Right. That was nothing but a tackle. And he tackled the guy, and I know Pereira said that the initial contact was above the knee. It was right on the knee.
And
it's not a penalty. I'm sorry. It's not. There's nothing illegal about that.
Let's be clear. I said this earlier. I know Zolak said during the game that TJ Ward should have had a 15-yard penalty and someone should be talking to him on the sideline. There is no rule other than a quarterback of hitting at the knees. There is no rule. Unless there's somebody you're already engaged and, you know, high and then you come low, there is no rule of one guy going
even
at
that
the knees.
You can do as a tackler.
Yeah.
If somebody has him high, you can tackle him
right.
low.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
that's just a block.
Blocking.
In-line
right.
blocks.
Yeah, the Terrell Suggs thing was the one that, you know,
well, the guy was down, right?
That's a cheap shot. Well, he was all stacked up.
He was
with
in a pile.
Four
he
guys
down.
Piled up. He wasn't down. He just dove at his knee. There was nothing you could say there that was an intent on Suggs's mind other than to hurt.
It was
Garrett
a kill
Blount.
Shot.
But look, I hate looking at that play with TJ Ward. You know, it makes me cringe, but honestly, there's no rule against that.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
You are sensitive to it because it's Gronk, because he got taken out, because he's so valuable. But it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it's part of football.
And now I see McCourty making that play. I see Arrington making that play. Revis goes low. All these corners and safeties go low.
Because they're little guys. They're going to get killed.
Exactly.
These tight ends are big and they are little.
Christian writes in from Philly. Just wanted to give some credit to McCourty. He's been one of the best free safeties in the league since he's made the switch. I know a lot of fans still don't see him as a good player from his cornerback days, but they need to realize he's been a Pro Bowl player since he changed positions. The Patriots allow among the fewest deep ball completions in the league, and that's 100% because of McCourty. Pro Football Focus rated him number one in coverage as a free safety last year, and he was a second-team All-Pro. Right now, I can't name a better free safety outside of Thomas. It's time we acknowledge Devin as a good player in draft pick. Yeah, he's turned out
He is
out
a
that
good
way.
Player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have we said he's not a good player at safety? He was not a good player at corner.
he was not very good at all.
He'd still be playing corner if he was.
Right. And he's a good player. I don't know that he's a great player, but the email's right. There's a lack of good safeties. I think this is a dark age of safeties.
I said that years ago when you guys laughed at me, but...
No, but you used that to say Brandon Merriweather was a good player.
But you said it when Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu were in their prime.
I wasn't as bad as you guys were saying he was. Brandon Merriweather is still productive in this league, by the way.
He's terrible. Brandon Merriweather's a terrible player.
My point is, he's still playing safety in the NFL, starting.
But when you were saying there were no safeties, Fred,
there
were.
Good safeties in the league.
But at the time you were saying it, Polamalu and Ed Reed were in their prime.
And you were saying he deserved his Pro Bowl status. That was what your argument was.
That was the problem.
Well, do you think
at the time, I think that year, Polamalu was hurt.
And I'm not as high on McCourty as that email, for sure.
I think he's a solid player.
He's a good player.
We're lucky to have him.
I just don't see him making a lot of plays.
So you now are you of the thinking they need to re-sign him to I mean, it's going to take you $40 million or something.
He wants a lot of money.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Really?
Yep.
You know his agent?
Maybe.
Oh. Okay.
He wants a lot of money. You want to give it to him?
Well,
you want to make him Eric Weddle?
I want to know, well.
It's probably going to cost you more than it cost San Diego for Eric Weddle a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You play some inflation.
I
you said 10 words and said nothing.
I'm just trying.
No,
because he has to wait to see if we sign him. If we sign him, it was the right move.
Eric Weddle got like $40 million.
Yeah, but it's going to cost you more than that, the price of inflation.
Half of it guaranteed? Is that what Weddle got?
Something like that. It's going to be $40 million, $20 million guaranteed.
How many years?
Oh, for crying out loud.
I need to know.
I say 45 to 50 with half guaranteed. That's what you're going to be looking at.
How many years?
Five.
Five, he said.
Oh, 5 years? I'd knock him down to eight, give more guaranteed.
Knock him down to eight. What does that mean?
$8 million a year, but guarantee more of it. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones. Al's in Georgia. Hey, Al.
See, if he was Al? As good as he was just described, that should be a no-brainer.
Hello, hello. Can
Albert.
Can you hear me?
Al, are you there?
Just do other things
here,
they need, too. Go ahead, Al.
Great win, fellas. Great win on Sunday. Just fantastic. I don't know. I can't think of 438 more meaningless yards that some quarterback has ever thrown for than Peyton Manning on Sunday.
That's right.
I agree.
A thoroughly mediocre to bad football game, and yet
he was terrible.
You know, probably you look at his stats, and some fantasy geek went crazy. Look, he threw for 438, like he had a great game. No, it's been an awful game by his own admission.
Yeah, he said it. I stunk. You can't win when your quarterback stinks it up. I think was
absolutely
how he put it.
I agree also on Gronk. Obviously it's not, I don't think it's like football politically correct for Gronk to complain about somebody hitting him low. He's not going to say that publicly, and privately he probably doesn't feel any differently, but, certainly TJ Ward was hitting him low, and thankfully the guy on the Bears the week before tried to tackle him high, and Gronk kind of swatted him and took it in for a touchdown. I think the way the rules are now, it's almost like they're forcing these guys to come in low because of the whole thing with the, with the concussions and the helmet to helmet.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. There's still a way to tackle a guy without having to go at his head.
Well,
it's hard to get a guy down that big when you're small.
No, but I kind of agree with Al. Another way to do it is put a helmet on his chin.
Right.
Just like you knock somebody out in boxing, if you put a helmet on their chin, you may be able to take down a bigger, more powerful guy. If you just hit him in the midsection, you're going to probably bounce off because his center of gravity is bigger than your center of gravity.
And the other part, if you watch the replay of the one-handed catch, TJ Ward has a chance to absolutely blow him up, and he doesn't. And I wonder if maybe he got caught in between of going for the ball and going for the man, but he also might have had in the back of his mind. I've had a number of these, fines. For these hits, and I wonder if I hit this guy right here, that's the epitome of a defenseless receiver. He's completely spun around in the air with one arm over his head. I wonder what he was thinking. If I light this guy up, and he could have hurt Gronk if he had done that.
Yeah, but if he puts a helmet on his hip, he's fine.
No, I know. If he
right
if he hits him in the spot that he was aiming, do you think that every time that these guys hit him? They think they're going to hit him in the head when they do it?
On that one, I don't think T.J. Ward could have gotten to his head.
No.
Gronk, I think he could have launched himself.
Gronk is a
and he
different animal
hit in
because he's
somewhere.
So big right. and Ward is so small. But I don't think every head-to-head shot from a defensive back is intended to be that.
No, I don't think so either.
Brandon Merriweather, yeah, a lot of times he was intended to do exactly what he was.
But on that one, I think he could have launched, thrown his helmet in there. It was not going to hit his head. He would have been fine. And he probably would have broken it up because it was a re-goddamn-ridiculous catch as it was.
I think he got caught in between. I think he thought he could have maybe picked the ball off. I thought he could have live.
On Manning, this is the kind of the needle I'm trying to thread there. So try to follow me. It's probably not going to be easy, admittedly. But I actually agree with that rule. I don't want to see the quarterbacks get lowballed. But and you're right. I have seen it where they've called the hit that Ayers made a penalty before.
J.J. Watt got called for it twice this year.
Vince Wilfork got it a couple years ago. Got called into the commissioner's office, didn't he? Didn't he appeal it and talk to him in person?
Well, here's what I'm hoping. I don't know if this is the trend, and I don't see all the games, but I'm hoping that they kind of reserve that call for if I lowball somebody from behind as opposed to in front. I know that may not be the way the rule is written, but I hope that they're calling it. Maybe eventually they'll write it that way. Brady got hit from behind. Trent Green got lowballed from behind by Rodney Harrison when he was with the Chargers and back in the day, and so. The low balls from behind are the things that I'm more worried about than in front. And at least Ayers was facing Manning, when he came in, borderline low.
I don't believe Brady was hit from behind. That was right up the middle after Sammy Morris had blocked the guy.
He blocked the guy. The guy got up and lunged right at his knee. It was right directly in front of him.
Now, one guy who I can remember from behind is I'm pretty sure the Carson Palmer was behind.
From the side.
But I don't. I know if it's from the front, you can maybe see it coming, but I don't really see the differentiation.
I think there's just as much potential for damage.
Well,
from the front.
I actually think there's more potential for damage from the front.
You go backwards.
I think from the back, it's the one way that the knee is designed to bend.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't love the rule.
I hate the rule.
I understand it. I understand these are your money makers, and, there is certainly a lot of danger that if you hit a quarterback in the knees, he might not get up, and that's bad for business. But, there's a lot of stuff that goes – it's bad for business if Gronk goes down, but it's legal to hit him in the knees, right? That's what we're talking about just prior to this. It's bad for business. If the Patriots lose Rob Gronkowski, I believe that's bad for NFL business. You no longer have Brady and Patriots rolling. You no longer have the marquees, all of that. I know he's not a quarterback, but that's bad for business too. And yet one is acceptable and allowed by rule and one isn't.
Rich is in New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to know your opinion on Julian Edelman embracing his name, his nickname as Minicom. I just saw that he came up with a shirt on his Facebook.
Oh, he did?
Any insight on that? Yeah, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't.
I heard he was fighting it, so maybe he's finally given in.
Yeah. Well, I know Brady yanked it out again the other night, Minitron, in the press conference, but no, I didn't know that. Is it a cool shirt?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's the Patriots throwback logo, but made to look like a Transformer.
Now, did he get permission for that? Oh. Should I call legal on that one?
And also, I think the first hit on Gronkowski with T.J. Ward was intentionally low. And
absolutely. It was intentionally low.
I agree
low.
With that.
No one's arguing that it wasn't intentionally low.
I think it was
intended to injure.
Yes.
I don't believe it was.
No, I don't think anyone's really going to tackle you to injure you. But
okay,
right.
Then we're fine.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Rich.
I think there are very few of the 1,800 players who, within that fraternity, are looking to hurt people.
That's right. Ward's one of them, though.
Maybe, listen, I'm not in his head, Fred. I'm not willing to just dismiss that he was trying to hurt him.
Maybe Pollard's one of those guys.
I don't even think Pollard is.
I agree it was intentionally low.
Suggs is.
Suggs might be.
Suggs tried to hurt the guy the other night.
Suggs is a thug.
No doubt about
that. I mean, he has done things on and off the field, and I know that was a bone of contention, the word thug, because Richard Sherman, he's a thug. He got into a fight before he was drafted with a pipe in a parking lot. He has done things to his, I don't know if his wife, girlfriend, with baby in hand.
Baby mama.
I mean, he does things on the field. The man is a thug.
Mm-hmm. Also, Thugs. I'd just like to bring up the fact I was at the Giants game last night. My friend gave me tickets, and what a terrible game to be at.
Oh, God. Yeah. That was awful.
It was cold, and it wasn't even a game.
Did you take...
We left at the third quarter.
Did you take anything from just watching the Giants suck? Is there any, like...
I mean, the Colts look great, but could just be
No, I just meant, did it make you feel good to watch the Giants suck?
Yeah, you know, and I was going to wear my Brady jersey, but I decided I didn't want to get into a fight with Rutherford.
Did you stay for the whole game?
He just said he left
in the third quarter.
Oh, because I was watching the second half, and, I mean, that place was dead, right?
It cleared out really fast.
Yeah.
Was it a blowout at the half? I saw nothing of the game.
40-10 after, like, the third quarter, they scored 21 points on
Answers. Did you see that the back page was new, big crapple, Giants play like Jets or something?
That's awesome. I didn't.
You got to give them that. They have some good
stuff. Oh, they're great. Big crapple.
Big crapple.
That's good. Thanks, Rich. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So we on to Cincinnati.
Fred's
on to Indy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Indy. Yeah, sorry.
I'm on to the bye week.
Yes.
Paul's on to Miller Lite Sunday afternoon.
Don't rush it.
Why Sunday afternoon? Why don't you start today, Paul? You deserve it.
I got a long ride.
Paul doesn't day drink responsibly. When he drinks, he drinks to get drunk.
Well, I don't drink, period.
Yes, you do sometimes.
Oh, no. To me, day drinking is like now.
Oh, weekday?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Saturday,
I'm not saying
Sunday
I wouldn't have a drink on a Saturday afternoon at a barbecue or something. That's not really.
You drank on Halloween.
I did.
Sorry, Fred. I think I started something that we won't be able to unwind.
No, we're fine.
Go ahead, Olivier.
We're into the Paul Perillo vortex of drinking.
Go ahead.
Where he's never been drunk in his life.
That's
well,
untrue.
Because he doesn't drink beer. He drinks water with carbonation. It's one minute life. Paul, when you start drinking a man's beer, let me know.
Ooh. He called you up.
Next time.
Has anybody tried that Guinness Blonde?
No.
It makes no sense to me. Like, Guinness is its own thing.
Right.
And now they've come out with a beer that's like a lager. It's a regular beer.
I might try it.
Of course you will.
I like lagers.
Who's stopping you from talking
top shelf,
now,
top shelf.
So coming back to the Pats, fantastic win, unexpected results. I thought we were going to win, but I didn't know we were going to win in such an impressive fashion. Now, we will most likely see these guys again, hopefully. It would be a total different game, and I don't think that the victory for them was as important as it was for us. But how do we, how do you guys see us going forward, and how do we beat Indy? Because they look great. I think their defense is pretty porous, but, we win, that's great, but now we get to think about how we execute in the next four or five games since we have a very, very difficult stretch and can't afford to lose any.
Listen, if the Patriots play the way they did against Denver, they should have not much of a problem. I mean,
agreed.
A Denver's defense is better than the Colts' defense.
Yeah.
And the Patriots scored, well, they weren't all offensive points, but they handled their defense, and I expect them to do the same to the Colts.
But if the Colts hand them the amount of points that Denver did, then it's going to be another blowout. Can we all agree on that?
And I know he's the whipping boy of Patriots Nation, but watching Trent Dilfer break down the Colts defense, and he kind of was picking on Darius Butler last night, showing a lot of
one game against Pittsburgh,
right? But he was, it was the fundamental he was going with, and it was the zone against bunch, and they were just getting killed. Like they would bunch up two guys, and they would just screw it up, and somebody would run wide open. The Patriots love those bunch sets where they'll have Gronk and Edelman or Edelman and LaFell. If they don't clean that up, then they will have a lot of success because they're rolling right now. They're no different than the Steelers right now. They have weapons. The weapons are making plays, and the passing attack feels like it's got momentum and is chugging along.
And by the way, Paul, I agree with you. They all suck.
Yeah, I think there's very few really good football teams.
I agree.
That's all. It's a small handful.
Is Arizona really good?
I think they're a good team, but I just don't think they have the off. I think it's a bad matchup for the Patriots. I think Arizona is a good football team that doesn't match up well with New England.
Hey, Olivier,
they've won five games, Andy, scoring less than 20 points.
The interview process is still going on.
Okay, good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep us informed. Thanks, Olivier. Let's go to Edwin in Las Vegas. Hey, Edwin.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Peyton, we just kicked your ass.
All right, there you go.
Hey, I got one more. We dominated the Denver Broncos on Sunday, and when they revisited us, their pants will be browner.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Edwin.
Is that the story you had to tell? Okay, thank you. All right. Poopy jokes, we like those. Blendy in Long Island writes
Blendy?
In.
Blendy?
Blendy. B-L-E-N-D-I. I don't know any other way to pronounce it.
Well, I wasn't sure, and then when you put an I on it, I made it a stripper name.
Blendy.
Little heart in the dog.
Oh, yeah. Put your hands together for... Oh, maybe she's a she-male stripper. That's why she goes by Blendy.
This is my first time emailing the show and wanted to make sure that you all know that I haven't missed a show in 6 years.
Awesome.
Although I don't have the chance to listen live, I wanted to make sure
Eric
that you could bring my praises to your direct supervisors for decent salary raises.
Fred, could you give us decent salary raises?
Am I part of that?
You are our direct supervisor.
I'm sorry that I didn't email last week before the game to give my prediction, 41-24 Pats. But my neighbor was incredulous.
Couldn't
of
even
my
get it
belief,
right after the fact.
Was incredulous of my belief in our Pats. That helped me win our week in our pool. You guys are great, and please keep doing what you're doing. Go Patriots. Jets suck. P.S. My 5-year-old son loves listening to the podcast with me, and he thinks that New York radio is great. I have told him many times that PFW is so much better than radio. Good.
In light of your very kind words, I'd like to apologize for calling you a she-male stripper named Blendy.
No, it was just a joke.
Well, it was either that or he's in Make-A-Wish, so, you know, knowing Andy's luck. people wondering where Dobson is. This isn't the time to wonder about that.
Why?
Because we're praising the winner.
It is a little odd.
Yeah.
What? Don't you think?
Yes, but I would ask, are we past the Amendola inactive chatter?
I wouldn't want Amendola to be inactive.
Well, I mean, that was a popular belief of a lot of people in
That's true.
Whatever stretch that was.
I mean,
was.
I wasn't one of them, but yeah, you're right. It was definitely
So we're
popular.
Past that?
I think
is that
he's
based
done enough
on special
to
teams?
I think he's done enough to contribute. He hasn't like emerged as this major contributor, but he's chipped in a little bit.
I actually thought he struggled a little the other day. He had that one kickoff where he fumbled and bumbled it and was lucky that it didn't make its way out of the end
See,
zone.
See, but that's the kind of thing. Like Edelman does that a million times.
No, I know.
And he's fine. But Amendola does it, and it becomes a thing after the game.
Well, because I've never seen Amendola take one to the house, and I've never seen Amendola catch 110 passes for this team. You can make mistakes when you have contributions, when you take the good and the bad. I haven't seen a lot of good from Amendola, so if you start making the bad,
but I wouldn't count that a bad.
You.
I mean, it's a touchback. I mean, he bobbled it before he was able to kneel. I mean, what's the big deal?
It was a hair from not being a touchback.
Okay, but it was a touchback.
It was a hair from being a debacle. I also thought the one where he got the penalty was a little hairy of a situation that could play out differently in the future. I haven't felt great about his decision-making on the punt return game.
Fair enough.
And then the interception, while I put it on Brady, did go through his hands. I mean, it's a catchable ball. I don't know that I would say he should catch it, but it's catchable. And I haven't eliminated the idea that he isn't worthy of being inactive. Like it seems everybody else has moved on. Because the offense is rolling,
we're
no longer looking at the problem of Amendola.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to say
But could
here
you be better
you,
with Dobson?
Yeah, I don't. I think the answer to that is no.
I think so too.
I wouldn't be up in arms if they decided, oh, Amendola is not active next
or
year.
By the way, Tim's
but I would
inactive.
Put, I would
and
make
Dobson active.
Yeah, I would make Tim's a bigger part of the offense if they wanted to do something like that. But I think it's fine just the way it's going. Amendola doesn't get many opportunities, and lately I think he's done a better job of taking advantage of the few that he gets. That's all.
Stephen Killeen, dominating in every aspect of the game with the Peyton and the Colts. Check. There are still things that need to be cleaned up, but now it is time to savor the win for a moment before moving on to the Colts and the gauntlet that will be the remainder of the season. Also, an unexpected side battle, Belichick versus the meteorologist, advantage Bill. I would say ice up to the meteorologist, but given that might be seen as a weather prediction, I'm sure it will be wrong. Keep up the outstanding work, and it is always great to hear Homer Fred being on point. Okay.
I thought that guy, Mike Betts, I think his name was, for Weather Channel, did a nice job. I thought they kind of manipulated the situation to their benefit using a Sunday of games where they did a really good job predicting the weather. But I thought he had some fun with it and used it for what it should be, sort of a back and forth. And then he tried to, you know, Bill, we got the app if you want to use the app. And we got nice jackets here if you want to wear a Weather Channel jacket. I thought he did a nice job with that.
And on Sunday, that's
they were right.
Pretty much dead on what they said. It was going to be really bad early. And as the day went on, the precipitation was going to go away and it was just going to be windy. It was very windy on Sunday.
Jonas in Washington, just between you and me and the 500,000 listeners, I think Sunday's post-game press conference was the first time Bill has used the word fabulous in an official capacity. Just getting ready for the bye week, I suppose.
Fabulous! I didn't actually hear the word. When did he say fabulous?
I don't remember. That's usually when we're posting.
It's funny, though. Fabulous!
When we're listening to Bill, we're usually hacking away.
With one ear open.
Let's see, Jarrett from Canada. I'm usually disappointed in the offensive play calls. Third down is usually a screen or short hitch pass. Well, not so much anymore. Many more play calls are more than 20 yards. I really think this has helped our success. What are your thoughts?
I just love that, like, Amendola's okay now. Josh is doing a great job. Everything is wonderful.
You know,
ooh, white chocolate.
I got something for you guys. Andy, ooh. Maybe this is more for you.
It's hardcore football. Is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Fred, you take this segment.
They took a couple of shots to Brandon LaFell.
I don't know. I missed it.
Fred, I'm sorry. I apologize 1,000 times for underestimating you. They took a couple of shots deep downfield to Brandon LaFell.
Right.
He was open on both of them.
Right.
The bad throws by Brady.
Yep.
Do you think those, long.
Do you
think those, and that's, by the way, Brady was really hard on himself about those throws on Monday on EEI. But do you think that even though they didn't connect on those, that those had a benefit
Absolutely.
Offensively?
And it was so funny on the blog later, people were going, oh, the Patriots are being too conservative. I go, what about the two bombs to LaFell?
Well, I hate when they say that. You know, people say, you know, why do they go deep like that on third? Sometimes you need to.
Right.
Right.
Sometimes it's not about hitting that one.
That's right.
And I do think that opened up the offense a little bit.
Yes.
That they took an early shot to Brandon LaFell that wasn't there. Fine.
And
they missed it.
And if you connect, everyone's like, genius call.
Right.
And
listen, offensively, the numbers don't paint the same picture that the 43 points do on Sunday. And part of that is because they missed a couple of plays like that. And, you know, you can't be perfect, but, you know, 398 yards of offense. That's good. That's a good day. It's not a super. It's not a 43-point day. 6 for 16 on third down. That's not very good in any day. So there were some things that, you know, the Denver Broncos really helped the Patriots with.
I think
you could make an argument that they kind of handed them 24 points. You know, with the two interceptions. The penalty that Andy talked about on Amendola on the punt, which is just a bonehead play by the Broncos, Patriots didn't even get a first down on that drive. They got a cheap 3 points, 4 plays, 8 yards on a field goal without even picking up one first down. And then you had the punt return for a touchdown. So you could make an argument that Denver really had a hand in 24 of the points that you scored. Now, offensively, I thought the Patriots were really good on Sunday. I just don't think they were great. That's scary, because when you're putting 43 up and you're just okay on offense, Andy's right. Start penciling in 35 every week, because that's the baseline.
Austin in Toronto. Okay, Fred, I think Patriots Nation has heard enough negativity out of Andy regarding Browner. I'm a big Andy fan, but he has
been
way too critical of Browner from the outset. He didn't even give the guy a chance to get his legs underneath him while he was bashing him. Is this perhaps a case
Wait, he didn't have time to get his legs underneath him when he was suspended and working out with the team?
He was here for training camp.
Is this perhaps a case of little man syndrome?
Yep.
Browner is a tall, nasty beast, something that this business, like defense, has missed for a very long time. He brings an attitude that you can't measure with stats, and I think he raises the intensity of the entire defense.
One might.
If this snowball keeps rolling, these high-flying passing attacks are going to be mentally defeated before the game even starts. So today, I want Andy to eat humble pie and admit that he was dead wrong on Browner from day one.
Yeah, I'm not really ready to do that. I am intrigued to where he can go in the postseason when they let him play. I still think he rides a fine line between getting beat, getting penalties, and being a physical presence. Am I wrong on that? I mean, Fred, Mr. Positive, Fred.
I want to take this away
wrong?
From Browner
Has he
for
been
a second.
And by the way, do we so quickly forget that the size and physical style of play and attitude that Aqib Talib brought to the defense? That's all we talked about last year with the swagger and everything, and now we haven't seen that in these parts since when? Oh, wait, since last year.
Fred, I want to just – the game itself on Sunday, do you feel like that was a – they beat up the Broncos receivers, they got physical, they haven't had that kind of a physical presence, and that's – do you feel like that was an element of the game?
Yeah, I think physicality
438 yards passing?
But I think physicality –
500 yards of total offense? Do you think that was an element in the game? They came up big in the red zone. Let's call it what it is. They made big plays when they had to.
Early on, they had some...
The whole game. They made big plays the whole game, not just early on. They were great throughout.
I know, but...
Defensively, to hold them to 21 points is a great job, but I just... Where did Brandon Browner light someone up that I missed?
I think,
when did Brandon Browner light somebody up in that game?
I think he had a good
when he wasn't getting
plays.
A penalty.
I think Browner played well. I think physicality.
I didn't
was
say
a,
he didn't play
a
well.
Big part of the game. I think rerouting guys was a big part of the game, and a lot of it doesn't show
okay,
up.
Okay, I
the
don't
stat
think rerouting guys was any part of the game. I think they played zone predominantly. in the game.
I knew he'd get to the point where the Patriots aren't that good.
Stop the fight. He's killing you.
It's totally the opposite. It's totally the opposite. The Patriots, I thought, made big plays throughout the game. It wasn't fluky. It wasn't because someone got hit and didn't want to play anymore. It wasn't because of that.
No, I don't think that. No.
It wasn't because they were overly physical with them and they were, you know, getting every call. It wasn't because of that. It was because they played better.
And I
don't put this all on Browner, like laying a physical presence out there.
I'm more impressed with the Patriots' performance because Denver's so good.
Absolutely.
Because their defense is so good, I'm even more impressed with what offense the Patriots were able to muster.
Now we're on the same page.
Because Peyton Manning's so good, I'm more impressed that he was so confused that he threw to Ninkovich.
Yeah, cutting ties a little bit now. Okay. I just think Manning was terrible. I don't think he was confused, but that's, you know.
I don't know if it's confused. I thought he was agitated.
I think the defense had.
I thought he got agitated.
He never was comfortable.
A hand in making him look bad.
And by the way, I
agree with that.
Yeah.
I just don't think he was confused.
I'm also consistent because I thought Aqib Talib sucked. I thought he sucked against Seattle. So in a couple of their big games, their big corners
come up small in the biggest spots.
John's here. It's 2:00, but one quick call. I think I hung up on Edwin. He has a story about Dell's lemonade. Go ahead, Edwin, from Las Vegas.
Hey, Fred.
Quickly.
I met Jim Fossil in a golf tournament. I had mentioned to the PSW elite on Facebook, and Nick Chester from Oregon had mentioned that I should bring up the Dell's lemonade story to Jim Fossil.
Yeah.
So I told Jim Fossil the Dell's lemonade story and how you had to go back and buy new Dell's lemonade, and he laughed pretty hard.
Did he remember it, though?
He did. He said he had no idea, but he remembers like the incident, but he had no idea. But it was pretty delicious. yeah, like for real. He lives out here in Las Vegas. He said that he does miss coaching in the NFL and that the NFL is, in fact, looking for a minor league team.
Yeah.
He confirmed to me that the UFL, he was the head coach of the Las Vegas Locals, that the UFL league has officially gone under. I would like to see you guys all in San Diego. So that was my quick story. Oh, and happy birthday to Big Vince and Brandon LaFell. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Edwin in Las Vegas. Edwin's always popping up on social with pictures of celebrities. You notice that?
Sniffer?
Well, no. I mean, you live in Las Vegas. A lot of celebrities hang around. All right, John, how you doing?
Good, Fred.
That must have been a cool game to call.
It was a very, very fun game to sit and watch.
Even for you?
Even for me. Shocking.
Interesting.
Why? Why would you think it would be?
You're catching some heat in the postgame
show. Are you negative more lately?
Are you negative?
Yeah, some people were ripping you postgame.
Really?
Yeah. The negativity.
Postgame for negativity?
They can't wait for this show because they're sick and tired of the negativity of John Rook on the playbook.
Where was I negative?
I don't know.
Did they have any specific examples?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not listening to them.
Well, we did get one emailer that said
you're not negative.
You're not negative. It's just that you read a lot of negative emails, and you're sitting next to Eric, who is very negative.
Eric has been in here, about three times all year because of the new interview schedule.
So yeah, I was going to
say. Can't blame it on Eric.
If there's negativity, it's coming from John.
Yeah. There's no negativity here at all. Zero.
All right.
Absolutely. I have no idea what these people are talking about.
John, just keep doing what you're doing. Okay. The ratings are great.
What do you got for nitpicks, though?
Nitpicks? Oh, I've always got nitpicks. Is that what they call negativity?
Well, I'm wondering.
I do a column every week called Nitpicks and Nitwits.
Well, what did they call it? It was Nitpick Tuesday, They're Not That Good Wednesday, and something. Bring on some national guys that hate the Patriots Thursday.
That's exactly what the guy said.
I like that. That's pretty good.
All right,
John. I'll write that down.
Have a good show.
Thanks,
and then after that is the fantasies.
The fantasies.
At 4:00.
Yeah,
we will see you tomorrow at noon.
Boom, chicka, bow, bow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.